Hey, it's the Tiltcast, episode 88, 2012 E3 coverage. And this week, we're going to be talking about so much shit that we don't even know if we can fit it in one episode, but somehow we do. So stick around for what we thought was going to be the best of show, and stay tuned.
And it's the Tiltcast back with our E3 episode, a day after our usual recording date, because we wanted to get all we could. And I am Trent, and to my right is Justin.
Hey, what's up?
And to my left is Victoria.
Hello.
Yeah. Manly. So.
Very manly, Victoria.
Yeah.
It's Doug Tour, damn it.
So, really quick, let's go ahead and jump through what we've been doing this week really fast. Justin, what have you been up to?
Finally finished Max Payne. Mm-hmm. Me and you did some multiplayer that's going to go up online soon.
You finally beat it?
Yeah.
Epic, isn't it? It's awesome.
The easiest way to describe it is, like you said earlier, offline, Die Hard meets
Lethal Weapon. Yeah,
very much that way. The game story feels that way. It's a little darker than both those movies.
Oh, yeah.
But overall, I had a blast playing it. And there's some people knocking some of the things on it. It's going to be one of my contenders for Game of the Year at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
entertaining.
That's what I told you, for shooter.
Yeah, it's the most well-directed game cinematically and gameplay-wise that I played in a while.
Yeah.
Minor flaws with some of the longer moments, but other than that, multiplayer is pretty badass.
Yeah, multiplayer is actually pretty fun.
So we had a lot of fun with that, but we'll be posting some gameplay footage of that and go into some of the more of the nuts and bolts of that when we talk about multiplayer.
Lots of the nuts.
Yeah. When we bring that up. So speaking of that, we got Johnny Five, a guy that does our video production. Mm-hmm. He's going to be, he's given us some of the most action-packed bullshit that we've ever had for an intro that we'll probably be figuring out something to do with, maybe an intro for the site or an intro for some of our videos, but we got some really crazy stuff going on. If you guys don't know, there's a lot that goes into producing the show aside from just us doing this podcast, and so, like with video work, I'm not real good at that. Trent's not, that's just not our talent, but we got people that we know, actually all of us know Johnny Five. And that guy is fucking amazing with this stuff. So he'll be, he's been helping us with some stuff, but he has to do it on his time between work, so just like the rest of us do. So there's that, the gameplay footage that we're doing, and more things to come soon. So, and we have Victor for several more months.
Yeah.
So he may be kind of half of a red shirt for a bit. But other than that, Diablo gameplay footage.
Yeah, we have that too.
How far have we been in so far?
We're at level 20 on hardcore.
Yeah, we're both level 20 on hardcore mode right now.
Through Act 2.
Yeah, halfway through Act 2. We haven't quite got to the Belial fight. That's going to be really interesting. We're going to record it, so you may see some deaths.
Yeah. We have a four-man group.
Yeah. We've had a solid four-man group. You got a buddy of yours from work, Ken, which is exceptionally good. And we got our friend Jason, who plays ridiculous amounts of this game. Mm-hmm. We wanted to find the best suited people that we could in a short amount of time to make sure we didn't die. So far,
it's been a cakewalk for the most part. It has. Come on.
We've had good teamwork.
Yeah.
We've had good teamwork. But that's the only thing saving us, because there's been times where you were sitting in a spot you shouldn't have been, and I was like, hey, move it. It's like we did the butcher fight.
I have my inventory open, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I just had...
Yeah, it's like, poison.
Yeah, poison on me, and I was just, what the fuck? Where'd that come from? Close call.
The footage on that stuff with PC gameplay with what we're recording for the fidelity is about, 6 gigs a minute?
Mm-hmm.
So...
it's about normal.
We're recording in chunks. We're obviously not going to record 15 hours of Diablo gameplay. We're going to record some highlights. So we'll be showing that fairly soon. I hope maybe this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, a little bit of Saints Row. Saints Row the Third is probably one of the... most overlooked game from last year. That game is fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's funny.
There's that guy that's in the fucking GIMP outfit that has an auto-tuned voice.
Yeah.
Which completely threw me off. The whole thing with they have these chariots that are following you that are driven by a slave. As I mean by a slave, I mean by a guy in a GIMP outfit.
Yeah.
Who's running with a ball gag and like a rickshaw behind him. But the rickshaw's strapped to him. And so when you shoot them, they explode like cars and do like backflips. It's fucking insane.
Yeah, that's pretty weird.
So,
it's a game that takes itself not very seriously.
It's a video game for video game's sake, and it's pretty amazing so far. But enough of that. That's pretty much what I've been doing, Vic.
Vic.
Work. And sleep. And drink.
Yeah. Love that. You played a little Diablo. I've been seeing
it. Yeah, no, I've been playing Diablo. I'm leveling up my Sork a little bit. Yeah, that's right. Female wizard. She's a Sork. But, so, I've been finding out some more stuff to do with gems and a lot of new items and stuff. Just the rares are insane. Like, they always were in D2. You would find a rare that's way better than a, you know, unique Shaco or something like that. Yeah. So, screw Harlequin's Quest when you got a crazy all-resist, you know, rare that blows out of the water.
Once we can all get to Inferno mode, we're going to have some fun. Mm-hmm. It just, what people need to realize about Diablo 3 is normal mode is training wheels.
Yeah.
You play through it, you beat it in normal mode to figure out the basic mechanics, then Nightmare kind of starts challenging you. By the time you start getting to hell, it's starting to get pretty hard.
See, what's funny is that I didn't even get through the training wheels. I went through not even the whole first act, and then went right into hardcore mode. So I'm just
I needed somebody who knew I could trust you as a gamer. You're a pretty good gamer. And as a
warrior, too, I'm pretty good. It's just smash it, run away.
What I think you didn't realize going to the warrior is that you're mostly DPS.
Yeah.
And you do pretty good DPS as a barbarian.
Yeah. And I wish I was more tank, but, you know.
Well, and the funny thing is the monk is basically the tank mm-hmm. and the healer. Like, he is the only real support class of the group. I mean, Witch Doctor can kind of manage large groups, but really the monk's where it's at if you're going to play a support class. He doesn't do a lot of damage, but the healing comes in handy a lot, and then I can take a shitload of damage because he can dodge everything.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like rotating.
Well, right now, it's like with the Barbarian, there is a way to actually somewhat be a tank with it, and that's if you focus more on your damage reduction, like with Leap, if you get Stone Skin. If you leap into the crowd, then you get that plus 100 armor, so it kind of helps do stuff. Plus, if you use your shout that basically lowers the damage that they dish out to you, then you can kind of be a tank. You're still going to get your ass kicked a little.
Well, so. The nice thing about the monk, again, is having the heal.
Yeah, so.
You have the heal, like your armor is increased by your dexterity. Mm-hmm. And so I got a talent right now that 100% of my dex also counts towards armor.
Nice.
So at right now, at level 20 in hardcore, he has like 45% damage reduction.
Nice.
Which you wouldn't expect a cloth-wearing class to have that.
My guy's all spec towards strength and vitality, so he's, like, I think maybe up to almost 200 strength, but his vitality's around, I can't remember, in the hundreds somewhere, I don't remember. So, but it's kind of half and half.
Well, and it gets exponential. It's just like our buddy Jason's got a level 60 Demon Hunter that does 36,000 DPS. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it really starts jumping up once you start hitting the 50s.
Well, so Act 2, you really start finding some good drops where it goes from, like, plus 13 strength to plus 45 strength on some items, so it's kind of a nice leap, so I can't wait to see what I find.
Well, I can't wait for Inferno mode, just because in Inferno mode, the drops are tailored towards the axe.
Nice.
And so they all have their own unique resistances and things like that.
Just collect armor sets.
Which I'm fine with.
Yeah, just carry that shit around.
That's Diablo, you'd have, like, a magic find set for going MFing, and then you'd have your, you know, basic... like a set if you wanted some resistances or just all out just battle.
Yeah. I do like that with the socketing now, you don't need to use the Herodrum Cube to actually socket stuff. What makes me angry, you don't have to go that one chick either, but you have to use somebody, it just made me angry, and it's like, okay, I gotta use the gym guy to actually craft larger gems from smaller ones. And also to remove gems.
But at least you can remove them and upgrade them.
And you don't lose the gem.
Yeah, and you don't lose the gem or anything, and the armor piece still stays intact and just returns to its default, which I think a lot of people bitched about that in Diablo 2, with how they couldn't unsocket things and go back to the original and experiment. So they gave you that ability, which I was kind of happy with. Anyway, so is that all you've been doing this week?
Pretty much, just that. Playing around on Diablo. I've been thinking a lot about... them probably not too much them probably releasing new classes and
games
and stuff like they did, like D2X did.
Like, I'd like to see a paladin come back earlier, because I love paladins. That was my favorite fucking class in Diablo 2.
I could see them doing a paladin
or a
templar or something.
A templar or a paladin would be great, because they're great healer. You know, they do great, like, heal stuff on themselves, and they have just really great shit. Like, zeal was one of my favorite fucking attacks, where you just bam, 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 all over their heads. You can hit up to 5 people at once.
Well, that's just like the monk is now.
Yeah.
Well, assassin. They should bring the assassin back too, I think, for traps, because there's no one really has a trap.
Demon hunters. Well, did they have necromancers?
No, demon hunters have.
It's an assassin zone. It is an assassin zone, but it's.
Well, you have the caltrips and you have the spike trap. The caltrips turn into a spike trap. You also have a spike trap that explodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I mean, they have some traps, but I didn't end up using those as much as I used all the get out of jail free basic stuff.
Yeah. Well, then also you've got 10 You've got 10 slots for characters. There's only 5 character classes. Mm-hmm. Now, if you wanted to make a male and a female of all of them, then I can see it happening. But you're really they're kind of giving it away that there's going to be more people coming because.
Hopefully, yeah.
If you build one character, just you can align your skills anytime you want. There's no need to build two of the same character ever.
Yeah.
Except for real space.
And also they could do character expansion where they actually have more character slots as expansions come out. So.
Yeah.
Well, the hardcore.
Yeah.
Because hardcore characters are completely separate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, even their inventories are completely separate. So, yeah. I mean, that could be that. But anyways.
Yeah, but anyways, what have I been doing? I played Max Payne 3, beat it this last weekend. Played some new demo games that were coming out, like... what was it? White Lies and Imagine Earth.
What's White Lies?
That one is it's a strategy game where you're basically this constant stream of cubes, circles, stuff like that, and you have to set these defenses to keep them from getting to the center. And as you destroy some of them, they actually give you extra blocks that you can put in the way and turret heads and stuff like that.
Another tower defense game you're playing.
Basically, that's a weird tower defense game. It has like. The way you can set it up is all you basically when you have a cube you can fit one of the turret balls on the top side anything so it's just configurations out the ass that you can do with it and it's pretty interesting. It gets a little difficult after a while and playing that and then Imagine Earth is basically almost like an old Sim Earth game where you're just basically setting up all kinds of stuff trying to build a civilization and deal with like modern problems like rising water levels, pollution, deforestation, stuff like that. Very cartoony game, though. It's actually kind of fun.
So. It's an interesting metagame you got going there.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Actually, the demo's available on Steam right now, so...
I might check that out.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Been doing that, and trying to think what else I was messing around with this weekend. That was about it. Just work. Started a new project for a local reporter. She's doing another charity, and she knows a lot of celebrities, and goes out to California quite a bit for events and all that. And she's starting this new gateway to donations thing where it's they don't do one charity, they do a lot of charities. And it's basically a gateway to donate to those charities and showcase celebrities who go through them to donate to those charities, which she calls philanthropists.
All
celebrity,
right.
philanthropist. And I was like, okay, we'll do it. Fuck it, I don't care. So we're doing the website. It's actually a pretty cool website. She's a really nice girl. She was on the news here in town. So, but yeah, other than that, I think I'm now co-head of the art department at work because we started a whole new art department and a whole new DBA. So it's my company name, Arts and Graphic Studios. So yeah, me and my other art director guy have been put over into that now. So...
Nice.
Sweet.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Easy job now. Just sit around and draw. That's what I do. And I do billboards for all over the goddamn state.
See what you can get away with on the side of the highway?
Yeah, I've been thinking about that, what I can get away with. I was doing a staffing agency one, and I typed in work into a stock photo website, and I found this one, this chick in a bra sitting on her bed with a laptop, and I was like, I would go to that place if they had that, sir.
Should do a, office space spoof where there's busted copy machine on the ground, three guys here on smiling.
Oh, yeah, or you can put a stapler.
Yeah.
Do a little stapler.
Swing line.
Yeah. But anyways, other than that, that's about it. So let's go ahead and jump into some quick stuff. Our question from last week. Do you remember our question there, Justin, in your mound of papers?
Yeah.
Two of them.
So we asked some people towards the very beginning of this week and last week, what was your most anticipated reveal of E3 2012?
Ah, yes.
So we got some responses. Vic, what do you got over there?
A couple of the big ones here. Paul Gregorio is my best guess on that. Sorry if I butchered the name. Assassin's Creed 3. That's definitely awesome. Tomb Raider and, with great hope, a sequel to Alan Wake. Which, those were all good ones.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a sequel to Alan Wake yet.
Not yet.
So soon. Alan Wake was done by Remedy, right?
Yeah, it was Remedy, who Microsoft was the main people with that. And Remedy had been working on that for, 5 years?
Yeah.
And then after they got done, I don't remember if they did the DLC. I think they did the American Nightmare. But that was a weird departure into a different direction for the Wake series. And I would be thrilled to see an Alan Wake 2, but who knows if it'll come out and when it'll come out and if it's going to be an actual game or just DLC.
All right, we had another response there.
It was Scott McFadden sent in Halo 4, which I don't know a person in the world that's not all for it. And Tomb Raider reboot looked amazing, he said. So I'm all for that, too. That looks great.
Yeah. Now, Halo 4, I got a couple gripes with, but I'll keep that for right now.
I say we had one more on the Facebook. That Sophie said, I'm excited about any new consoles being revealed by Microsoft or Sony. I want them to, but then again, I don't, as I'll have to buy the new console day one. Would any of you buy the new consoles day one, no matter what?
Now, so I actually have
a question for the question.
I actually have a reason why we're not going to see new consoles, and I have that reason, and this goes into some of the stuff that they've already revealed with E3, with the smart glass, which we're going to talk about later on. And one of the things that people need to understand is they're still fine-tuning a lot of the consoles, especially when it comes to Xbox. They're fine-tuning what they can do, and you're not going to see them put out something like that and then jump right into a new console. You're going to see them put this out, get everything ready, and make sure it all works, so that way when they do the new console, they want to basically not have their dick in their hands and have a fiasco where it doesn't fucking work.
Well, here's the thing with that, and just to kind of branch off from what you're saying, Sony did that with a PS3.
Yeah.
And they sold it at a loss because the technology in there at that time was so new.
I think it was like 50% of their initial shipping.
Yeah, it was
broke. Didn't work.
Well, I don't remember the exact numbers, but think of it this way: they were selling it at like $600, and the actual tech cost them like $900.
Yeah.
At cost to put that thing out, and so they had to rely on software, and they didn't make their money back for a really long time. And so right now, with the way things are, with the way that our processes are, and the PS3 and the Xbox 360 tech 5 years ago is a lot cheaper now, and so you can get away with making an Xbox 360 for like $70-$80 versus, you know, when it first released, they were selling it at a loss. So right now, if they can do more with the tech as it is, they're going to keep it around for maybe another year. And I can see that 360 and PS3, they didn't really talk a lot about new consoles, just new innovations as to what they're going to do with their current gen consoles.
Yeah, and that's what I see them doing, is that they want to. Because the smart glass thing we're going to go into later is amazing. It really is what they're saying they can do.
That's an innovative idea.
Yeah, that is a beautiful idea, and it finally brings a console that really is going to tie your entire stash of electronics together for the most part, as well as your entertainment experience, and we'll reveal all on that. But when you see them doing something like that for, like when Kinect came out, we knew, okay, there's not going to be a console for a while. Because Kinect just came out. And then this is coming out, so obviously there's not going to be a console for a while, because they're going to fine-tune all this. And I don't... And one of the big things is when they do something big like this, you're not going to see them take the chance of putting a new console out where the tech is not tested and it hasn't been around for a few years, because then they're running the risk of having a fiasco like PlayStation 3 did, where they put it out and half of them didn't fucking work. They were broke, so they had to do...
recalls.
Yeah, recalls and fix. And that was... It was over 50% of their initial shipping stock was fucked.
And well, and
that was bad. You know, that was really bad. I'm surprised Sony, if Sony didn't have its, you know, its big fucking corporation all over the place.
Well, they have so many investments outside of just the PS3. They
would
absorb
have gone bye bye. Had they just been Sony Entertainment for consoles, they would have just gone fucking bye bye.
Well, it's one of those things where it's a really good time, I think, to be a PC gamer.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I say that is because as this new innovation comes out, you'll see a lot of this stuff hit PC first. So a lot of the new game engines and things like that that can only run on a high-end machine, you're going to see that on PC, and you'll see rasterized versions of those on your console. So you'll see games like Crysis 3 coming out, which will look... They've already said they're focusing that more on a PC market while simultaneously releasing it for current-gen consoles. So you'll still get a good experience of the current-gen console, but from your PC, you're going to get a whole different experience, because as far as I know, things like Teslaization and some of the new lighting engines don't work on a current-gen console, but they do work on a high-end PC.
Yeah, and one of the things is you're also going to see a lot of, as you're saying, you're going to see a lot of it coming to PC first, but you're also going to see a lot more integration into, I believe, PCs. You're going to see a lot of PCs actually crossing, especially with Xbox, since that's their form. You have, you know, Windows, Microsoft. You're going to see Windows 8 have a lot of functionality with the Xbox system, I think. A lot of crossover that's beyond what they do now with just the media fucking center. You're going to see a little bit
of extra stuff. Not excited about that, but...
No, but you're going to see a lot of extra stuff, and I'd be interested to see, especially with Smart Glass, what they're going to do to tie stuff in, and it's going to be fairly interesting.
Well, so. Windows 8, not the beta, but the pre-release, the preview, came out just last week. So looking at some of the stuff that came out on Windows 8, they got a tile system, and it looks kind of like, and this is going to piss some people off, we all know how that Microsoft with the Xbox does the blades, you know, and you go through each of the different blades. that's kind of the experience they're going right now with Windows 8, which I'm not cool with. They still have the classic desktop version that you can do, but they're also simultaneously putting out a version of the desktop you can use that has the tiles, where you have My Entertainment and things like that. And it seems all right on a tablet, but I don't like that
on a desktop now with swipe technology. It'll look cool, but
One of the things that a friend of mine brought up, just talking to him at work, so we talk tech all day where we work, and he was saying, you know, the thing that would irritate me is if you start having the advertisements like you have on Xbox, on your PC, because they can stream that stuff as a live update to your desktop, and that thing would get on my nerves. And that's the one thing with Microsoft lately. My biggest gripe with Microsoft is games are buried somewhere in the back where you got all this music and entertainment and things like that, which me as a gamer don't necessarily want on my front desktop. I want a way of prioritizing what I want first.
Yeah.
If I could prioritize what I want first, I don't give a shit if I bury that stuff in the back, but I don't want to see Rihanna's new video come up before my Gears of War 3 or before, the other thing too.
Just on that really quick, just so we can stay on that note really quick, what I have to say is that I understand that Microsoft wants to kind of integrate the entire entertainment experience with movies, music, and games. I really understand that, but I agree that they need to allow you to customize the blades and customize what you're seeing. Just like with Steam, you can set it to where which page do you want to see when you boot up. You can go to the storefront page and see all their specials. You can have it go straight to your library. And mine's set to go straight to my library because I spend a lot of money. And so I don't go to the store page unless I purposely, and there'll be weeks, maybe two days.
You have to skip it because you end up buying stuff.
Yeah, and I go through it every day. Today they have exactly 100 specials, and I go through them every day just to see what's new.
Well, and to talk about that, I think if Microsoft followed suit and did the same thing that Steam does with their specials, and had weekly specials or midweek specials, hey, this is on, and then also in turn showcase their new games.
Yeah.
Instead of having to dig for new games, instead of it being a featured game all the time, where they have only certain featured games, there are new games like Golden Axe. I didn't see anything about that, but I knew it came out.
Yeah.
You know, and I had to dig through that to look for Golden Axe, and I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, well, one of the things they do is, you know, they do have their Xbox does have its sales where they do this, like, monthly sales where this item's reduced down to 600. It's not major sales. It's only reduced by about maybe 200 points. Some of them go 50% off for DLCs, but they hide them. They put them way back. It used to be on the old system where you would go over to games, and it'd be right there, sit there and say, sales. And you could click on it, and you could go through the previous months and see what's up for sale. Now, you can't do that anymore. You actually have to dig over there into games. And accessing the game marketplace gets to be a pain in the ass. Accessing everything gets to be a pain in the ass. I really wish that they would let you customize it just a little bit more.
So, but speaking of that, this is our E3 episode.
Yeah.
And we know that there's a lot of stuff out there. We've kind of streamlined it down to things that we thought would be important.
Mm-hmm.
What the fuck is all that shit, Vic?
I'm actually in the process of hunting down computer parts to build a computer, and I was comparing AMD versus Intel, and I'm disgustingly upset with the findings, because I haven't messed with too much since AMD had their Phenom 2, just ridiculous.
Well, I guess we're going to jump on this for a quick second. What do you got there?
I found out that the freaking i3, the Frappo i3 old version Intel, you know, the i7 now, the i3, i5, i7.
Yeah.
The i3 is trashing AMD's newest processor.
Nice.
Which processor, though?
This one is actually, you know, we got the AMD Phenom X, or I'm sorry, 2X4970. That's a 3.5 gigahertz.
Yeah.
That's running pretty good.
The core on it.
But it's I believe that one says 3.5 gigs.
But it's a quad core?
I think it's an 8 core. I think it's 6 or 8.
Is it the Zambezi? Because if it's Zambezi, then it's 8 core. If it's the, let me see.
I believe.
It's 3.6.
It kind of pissed me off.
3.6 is the 8 core. Let's see here.
And they've got it testing on Far Cry, on Crysis 2, and Metro 2033.
That's the quad core.
On here. That's the quad core. And so they're getting destroyed. They used to be, like, AMD was your gaming setup.
Mm-hmm.
And you could upgrade your processor forever, basically. You've got your, you know.
Just keep overclocking the shit out of it.
Yeah, just keep jacking it up, and you could put a new one in. You don't have to change chipsets.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft, you know, Intel, you know, basically that whole side of everything is more like, oh, you got to change your chipset. Oh, we came out a new processor. Get a new motherboard. Everything else doesn't fit in that. Oh, and now we got 3-channel RAM. You got to switch that out too. Here's the stick. We didn't put lube on it. We're cramming it in there. Yeah. You're going to run fast as shit, but so would I with a stick up my ass. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's I'm going to have to go Intel now. I can't do AMD after seeing this. I'm disgusted.
You should go i7.
For 100, dude, $119, you can get the old i3. I'm not going to do this, but it's Intel Core i3-2100.
I would tell you one thing. One of the reasons I went with the AMD, because I have the AMD 8 yeah. cores and MBZ, the 3.6 that goes up, it's overclocked right now to like a 4.3, yeah. I believe. And that's not even me overclocking it. That was just straight out of the box. If I overclocked it a bit more, I could probably get higher. But it's really good for the multi-process, like multitasking. So you have a fuck ton of like just uses you can use. Like Photoshop boots like a motherfucker. I have an almost equivalent on the machine at work, and Photoshop takes about, I think, 20 seconds longer to boot up. And also when it comes to handling the graphics and everything, it just handles things better.
But if you put yours against my i7 would win.
Probably. But it works for my functionality what I need, which is largely graphics and
I think
Photoshop,
for gaming on a budget it's not a bad idea.
Now AMD's always been better when it comes to price, of course, but it's one of those things where what are you looking at?
There's your Zambezi right there, there's a current price. They're about to come out with the bulldozer though, so
let me take a look. That is I just looked at it yesterday. I'm trying to remember if that's what it says on the website or not.
Yeah, the AMD FX 8120 Zambezi, 3.1 gigs.
No, not the 3.1.
Oh.
No, I have the 3.6.
Oh. Yeah, that's the 8 core.
Yeah, I have the 3.6. There's okay. 2 8 cores. There's a 3.1. There's a 3.6 8 core.
Oh, cool.
So the 3.6 8 core, I think, is about 200. And then when it comes to the i7, I think the last time we looked at it was the other day, it was like $400-some-odd.
Oh, it's still rape, but it's...
It is rape. It's very hardcore rape.
I paid $389 for mine last summer.
Yeah.
And my processor never runs above 30%, and that's when I was running Fraps, when I was running Diablo and Photoshop for screenshots.
Yeah.
That's, plus having several web browsers open.
My shit, whenever we're like... Because I was recently doing it, so Diablo, yeah, running Diablo and having Dextory, which is basically the same thing as Fraps, and capturing video plus having web browser open, it runs probably about, I think, 20%, maybe 15%. I know if I'm running Diablo by itself, it's 12%. So,
yeah.
But I also have like a fuck ton of goddamn RAM and a fuck ton of graphics RAM. So.
Well, that's another thing. Depending on the game and how it's running, it may dump it over to your graphics cards to take it with your onboard RAM. So they can help. Mm-hmm. Your RAM is going to make a big difference, and your RAM and your
motherboard based on how fast it can handle their distribution resources between your video RAM and your regular RAM.
Yeah.
On top of the speed of the bridge between the processor and the board,
yeah,
is going to make the biggest difference. So if you get yourself a boss board with some really boss RAM, you can have a fairly mid-range processor.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you got a decent graphics card that can handle the video RAM and not worry about it.
Unloading the weight off of the processor and everything else. And right now I'm running the Sabertooth 990 FX, which is built mainly for that 8 core and with G Skill RAM. So I think at like 16 gigs right now.
Mm-hmm. I can't recommend G Skill enough. Both me and your G Skill, and it fucking blows.
I had one stick burn out on me as soon as I got my computer, probably about a month afterwards. They replaced it for free immediately. There's a lifetime warranty on all their shit. You just send it in, and they'll take care of it, which is great. They got it back to me pretty damn fast.
Yeah. So, good luck in the past with Corsair, too.
Yeah, but Corsair is pretty good, but they can be kind of expensive. G-Skill is actually way cheaper. Yeah. So I think for a G-Skill 32 gigs of RAM pack, I think it was... No, for a 64-gig RAM pack, it was $500-some-odd when I was looking at it the other day for work.
Is that like 1866, the 2133?
Yeah, it's like 1866, and that was because my boss is going to pick up new rigs for us, so we convinced them. So we're trying to convince them that it would be cheaper if we built our own rigs rather than him buying pre-purchased HPs, for Enterprise class. Trash. And I'm just like, just let us build our own.
Well, those Enterprise class, though, have the Enterprise class graphic cards in them?
Yeah.
And those things will blow anything.
Anything away, but we don't need that because we're not doing the video stuff and all that. We're not. That's not our department. We're just doing Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator and all that. We are wanting to go ahead and get one of the Enterprise class ones for a video editing lab, and that will go ahead and let us spend the $5,000 fucking dollars. Yeah. But for our personal computers,
it'll render faster than anything we have going.
Yeah. But for our own personal computers, we just kind of want to build our own because it'll be cheaper.
Well, because they have that like 8-core i7 that runs like $900, and that thing's boss. But I can't think of a single game that I have or ever would purchase soon that ever need something like that. So, I mean, even with the video processing that we do, I mean, rendering down for me takes about half time real time, so it runs about 2x speed.
Yeah.
And that's fast enough for what we're doing.
Yeah, so whenever I'm rendering down our game videos, it's like nothing. It goes by pretty fast. I think if it's a 30-minute video, it takes like maybe 5 minutes. So that's pretty good. Yeah. And the heating is pretty good, too. So, but either way, are you done with your...
Yeah, I was going to. I printed out a bunch of stuff because I was just curious. Because, I mean, I was all set on AMD. I was pretty much, you know...
AMD cards have gone a long way, so you might go with an AMD card.
Yeah, it also, when it comes to the processor, like I said, for work, we do, we're not doing a lot of, like, you know, video graphics. It's mainly just, you know, graphic art. So we, you know, I prefer AMD. My boss just likes to spend, buy Intel because he likes to spend money.
Oh,
that's the only reason why. And when it comes to the AMD stuff, it's really good for Photoshop and video, photo editing and crap. Yeah. That's why I push for it, because it really handles multitasking, really like multi-thread and all that. But for personal use, I went with AMD because I was on a slight budget of like $1,300, and it served my purpose, and it still serves my purpose. I have no problem running any goddamn game.
Yeah.
You know, the only problem I ever have with it running a game is whether it can support dual monitor or single monitor. That's the only thing I run into, because some games like Max Payne does not like dual monitor, so which kind of sucks. But yeah, so. Let's go ahead and jump into an email.
Yeah, undo the email real quick.
Yeah.
Oh,
did we say what our most anticipated peaks were for E3?
I did last week. I said I was going to look at some information for Wii.
Okay.
So I'll be talking a little bit about Wii U here a little bit.
And I think mine was a mashup. I think I was really looking forward to Elder Scrolls Online, but a couple others which were finally confirmed, so we'll wait till later to go into those. I wasn't sure if they're going to show them or not.
So, with the email, we have one of our biggest fans write in.
Which one?
Oh, it would be Ian, of course.
Ah, Mr. Cost.
And what Ian said, he said, to the nasty one, the antelope, what's your vector, Victor? A burrito supreme and a sleepy fuck who doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
And
who are not here.
No, she she works later tonight.
Yeah.
And we had to move this episode because of, well, E3.
Yep.
So anyways, he said, so anything blow you away at E3? We'll get into that. My question ties into your question. I was really only blown away by South Park, The Stick of Truth.
Oh, fuck yeah, dude.
The game looks like...
No dick having, motherfucker.
The game looks like it's going to be better than I thought. So since this E3, in my opinion, was so lacking in oh my god moments, do all you all think that next year is going to be the year where the next-gen console information is revealed? Love the cast, Ian from Cleveland, Ohio. P.S. I'm sorry for being shitty at Left 4 Dead 2. Post P.S. Victor, I just wanted to let you know we're all counting on you.
Oh, shoot.
Nice.
So,
that's an airplane moment right there. Yeah. If you didn't, you know, what's your vector, Victor?
Oh, goes, yeah.
Yeah, he goes, Roger, Roger. You know, Roger. Yeah, and then there's Under. And then Leslie Nielsen comes in and goes, we're all depending on you. And just keeps coming back in. I got that.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
So, anyways, Ian, we're just going to have to answer your question as we go through the cast.
Actually, I can answer his second part, which was the, do I expect to see next-gen next
year? Yeah, okay, we can talk about that. Yeah. So, we're going to talk to you a lot about hardware here in a little bit, and I think I'm going to start there, because I think that's going to be a big thing anyway.
Hardware and engines.
With what's been revealed so far at E3, the reason it's not a blow-you-out-of-the-water thing is because they're... sticking with the tech we have right now and innovating new concepts as to what we can do with it.
Yeah.
And so with this year's E3, we got the Xbox Smart Glass, which we'll talk about in a second, which I think is revolutionary. That was the biggest reveal, I think, for E3 so far.
Yeah.
But also some of the things that they're doing with Wii U is fairly innovative. So those two things combined kept this at kind of a more subtle E3, but we also had a decent amount of reveals for things that we're looking forward to. One of the things, though, that I want to say about new hardware...
He's airplane.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remembered it, like, from one of the world. But people have said that my entire life. I love it.
He's like, why have they been haunting me? Anyway.
So, with next-gen consoles, I mean, we got the new Wii, and we were talking about cost.
Yeah.
So, these things cost a lot of money to make, and I know from being in a hardware industry that deals with tech, you're always going to have something that's... When you're dealing on a broad consumer base, you're going to always have something that deals in... technology that's been out for a few years.
Yeah.
And so I think that right now we could possibly see tech for this current generation of consoles maybe being even extended into 2014. I don't necessarily see another group of consoles coming out soon. And the reason is Vita just came out this year. They're not going to trash Vita. They're not going to throw that away. They're not going to say, okay, now it's last generation.
Well, especially since they're just now finally catching up with the fan base because, you know, Vita, when it came out, had a good slew of stuff, and then it just kind of tapered away, and now they're starting.
Well, they had a real strong release base, yeah. But they didn't necessarily do anything with it.
They didn't keep up with it.
No, I mean, I still haven't got a Vita because I'm not wowed enough with the games to want to play it. So, yeah. I mean, that's the reason I haven't bought a Vita yet.
It's like Golden Abyss. Uncharted looks great, but that's just one game.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is storing everything on your hard drive. That's kind of hard for people to not buy something physical.
Yeah.
We as nerds like to collect shit. I mean, even with your Steam account, at least you can kind of show it off on your PC and say, I have X amount of games.
Yeah, pull up your little library and boom.
And everybody can see your library online if they want to. All your friends can see your library. And so there's that nerdgasm going on.
Yeah.
But with video games, I mean, I can't look and say I have so many downloadable games on Xbox Live because I don't fucking know how many I have.
No.
But I can look at my game library on my shelves and say, oh, that's what I got.
Yeah.
So there's that I think that's kind of hurting it. That nerdgasm factor with Vita, you don't have a lot of hardware you're bringing with you, or not a lot of software you're bringing with you. It's all built in. So that's one thing that the Vita kind of has against it. The other thing is it doesn't have a strong release of titles. But moving on to what his question is asking, what's coming out next gen? I think with Wii coming out this year being more or less a current gen console, it shows what they can do with current gen technology, and they're not going to move forward, especially with how people are going to respond to like a $600 price tag. They're not going to say, oh, here's a new console for $600. Buy it, because nobody is right now. You're going to have the people that are fairly well off that will still do that, but there's still a grand majority of us that aren't that well off. I mean, me and you have pretty decent jobs, Trent. Mm-hmm. We'd still have to save up a little bit to get it. I mean, it's to fit it into our regular lifestyle. I can't just drop $600 anytime I want.
Yeah.
I still have to think about dropping that money.
I'd have to do layaway.
Yeah, I'd have to do something like that. And then you see Microsoft that's going to the subscription base, or that's piloting that. And so you have that whole thing, pay $99, pay $20 a month for your subscription for 2 years. And it's honestly, if you think about it, it's kind of like Xbox layaway. Just like you said, you can get it right now, and you can keep playing it and pay a subscription fee. And that subscription fee is partially subsidized the cost of your Xbox. And so $20 for Xbox Live might seem like a lot, and I thought about this a lot, and I was like, you know what? You're really paying $10 extra a month, and eventually you probably pay more, but you would do that at Rent-A-Center and anywhere else.
Well, so I took a look at the math, and it actually equals to be not that much of a difference between if you were to buy an Xbox and then do a two-year subscription.
$299 or $340.
Yeah, it's just like about $50 more. And if you go to like Rent-A-Center or any of the other places, and you get an Xbox that's $400, you end up paying about $700 in the end. $700 to $800.
Minimum payments. You could dump $300 in a week.
Yeah, even Finger HUD, like online, I think they're charging for you to buy something. It's like this much per week, and it ends up coming out to like $650 for a 4-gig Xbox 360 with a Kinect.
Right, and so you get this technology for $99, plus you pay the monthly fee.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend $340 for an Xbox Arcade. But don't think of it as spending that, because you really spend about $220.
Yeah.
Because
you think about it,
it's really about $10 a month that you're paying for your subscription, and $10 a month you're paying for your product.
And it's the new console, it's the Slim with a Kinect. I mean, for that amount, you really can't shoot that down for that, because, you know, you're paying this amount, you don't like the hard drive size, but you know what, you're saving, you know, money every month to pay this thing. Rather than going out and spending your entire paycheck, you got a little bit extra, just go out and buy the expanded hard drive.
Well, top of that, slap a freaking EHD on there. You can buy Seagate or freaking, you know, anything in the world
and
slap
it on there. 32 gigs.
So. Yeah,
up to 32 gigs.
Flash drive and label it what game you got on there.
Yeah, but 32 gigs is a decent amount to store some stuff. So
I still use my, and I still use my original from 2005 that I got when I bought Oblivion, my 20 gig shiny plastic one. I slapped it on my third one now, my third Xbox. I got an Xbox Arcade, and I've taken it apart. I replaced the X clamps with bolts, put you know, Arctic Silver on it. It's not going to red ring for the life of me. Yeah. I couldn't, if I put it, you know, it's not going to, but.
But getting at what I'm saying, that's a 2-year subscription that just started this year as a pilot program. Does that mean? It means Xbox isn't going away for a while.
Yeah.
If you're paying 2 years out on that, they're not going to quit supporting that till at least 2014.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm getting at, is you have that subscription base, that console's not, that 720 is not coming out for a while.
Yeah. And Microsoft isn't accustomed to totally fucking people over like that, where they do something like that ties you in just to go ahead and release something new the following year.
Well, I don't always have the warmest feelings for Microsoft, but I think this idea itself is pretty ingenious.
I like this idea. It's a good idea, and I think it basically allows them to tap into those houses that can't afford to just go out and buy one, or if they need to get a new one because one broke, but they don't have the cash to throw, they can just do this. It's a good idea, and I don't think we are going to see new consoles. I mean, we might see a hint of something next year, but
I think they'll show off tech yeah. demos and things like that, and they're already talking about the new game engine because they're running it on PCs right now.
Yeah.
But I don't think the next gen of consoles is going to come out soon. I think, if anything, of course, you're going to have the Wii this year.
Yeah.
I think PS3 will probably show theirs first, because I think their tech is probably the next closest to an overhaul.
Yeah.
But from what we're seeing from Microsoft, obviously with the Xbox Glass, completely innovative, and with the subscription base now, I think you're not going to see that go away for a little while. So
yeah.
that I think from what we said, we probably answered that question. It's... as we probably can.
Oh, what do you say, Vic?
On
this question.
On this one, as far as next gen things. Well, first off, I think if they do release the 720 within the next 2 years, it's going to be on Xbox Live just the same. You can play 360 with 720 friends. You're just going to have upgraded graphics. I don't think even games. For a while, if you remember, PS3 came out, PS2 came out. They were still releasing the game on PS2.
Yeah, they did that with Silent Hill.
Well, they still do that with FIFA. So
exactly, well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, you're still going to have 360 games coming out in duality with 720. So it's not going to be the jump from you know, Super NES to 64.
Yeah,
it's not going to be like that. It's going to be more like
Super Nintendo was around from like 1991 or 92 all
Super
the way
Nintendo
through.
Ran 90. For like 10 fucking years, a decade as a house console. Yeah, it was around for about that time. Yeah.
86 for regular NES, and then it was like...
Super Nintendo came out like 91 or 92.
Yeah, and then PlayStation hit around about...
91 or 92.
About, well, it was whenever... yeah, it's about that time.
PlayStation made the bigger jump on that one.
Well, Sony and Nintendo were supposed to be working together, and then they fell out, and that's what happened. So Sony basically stuck it to them hardcore, like really hard. So,
yeah, well, they went from cartridge to disc.
Well, that's why, because they were like, Sony was like, we're going to do CDs because we can do this
you can mass produce these.
Yeah.
Even back then, they could mass produce those really quickly.
Yeah, and in the meantime, Nintendo has to take months to go ahead and get once the game's done, get their cartridges made. We can basically knock shit out as fast as possible and screw them over, and that's what they did. Yeah.
And then you got to remember, it was just going from tape, cassette to DVD, CD. That was just coming out. They had Laserdisc for a bit.
Yeah.
It was all the hype. Anybody with anything was like, I'm going to go drop $100 on a PS, you know, PS1. Mm-hmm. Wasn't called that then, but, you know, the PlayStation.
Yeah, that was the smaller version that came out.
Yeah,
the updated one, yeah.
But it was, I remember from when I got mine, I was still like, I wanted to play my Super. I felt like I was cheating on it, but look at this. And then Sega CD came out. I'm a Sewer Shark. I don't even know how to play this game. I'm 10 years old, but I'm going to fly the heck through the Sewer Shark crash.
Yeah, I love Sewer
Looks
Shark.
Awesome.
And Sewer Shark and Night Trap and Double Switch and all those.
Dude, Echo the Dolphin.
Echo the Dolphin was good, yeah. But now, I don't think any new tech's going to be fully revealed. We'll just see some glances here and there, probably over the next year and up into the 2 years from now. And then finally, probably 2014, maybe, I think.
I'm saying 2014. I mean, obviously we've never really done predictions on the show until this year, and I think that we've got enough of this stuff under our belt at this point, seeing as closely as we followed it the last 2.5 years of the show.
Yeah.
Also
before even the show.
Yeah, even before the show, we followed this stuff, but I think after following it as much as we have lately, it's not coming out till 2014. So
if even that, maybe 2015. 2014.
2015 might be pushing it.
At that point, I mean, it'll be a very old console at that
point.
It'll
be 8 years.
But it depends on what innovations they can really come up with in the meantime to make the 360's longevity last. And to be honest, I haven't been disappointed with what they have come up with over the past couple of years. So
speaking of Xbox, one thing I kind of wanted to move into was Smart Glass. So we've been talking about this. Trent, both me and you have talked about it some in private here. What's Smart Glass?
Smart Glass is basically not what you think. Anyway, Smart Glass is an ability to tie your handheld devices such as, basically Windows 8 pads, smartphones, stuff like that,
so it's,
in
it's,
with your console.
So to highlight this, your Windows device, Android device, or your iPhone device.
Yeah.
Your
iPhone.
It could be pads or phones.
Yeah.
So all of those handheld devices, aside from the Kindle,
will become integrated into gameplay as well as just interacting with your Xbox. Good example that they showed at E3 was they actually had him come out with a Windows 8 tab.
Right.
And he was sitting there using it, watching the new Sherlock Holmes movie. And he was able to bring up a menu on it, push a button instantly. It jumped up on the big screen and picked up right where it left off. But what's more beautiful is, even though it did that, the tablet then became an IMDb page, basically, showing you all this stuff and a remote control with a pause button, where it showed you artist biographies, related works, anything you want to know about the movie you can access on your pad while you're watching it. That was pretty cool. And what's even better is they were hinting towards this being part of gameplay as well, which means the Wii U just went down. They're not going to be the only ones who can do that.
Well, the thing that makes this so much more innovative than the Wii is it's not a peripheral that you have to buy.
No.
Or it has to come with a system. This is a peripheral that most of us, with the exception of me, who's going to get one soon.
Oh, you're going to finally get something?
I'm going to get a smartphone soon. I'm not going to quit being so damn cheap.
That's the only phone worse than Thug Tours, I got to say.
I haven't seen one of those since I watched like reruns of L.A. Law, man. That's pretty old. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm the only one stuck in the past here, and I don't use my phone for a lot of interactive anything.
Yeah.
Never really saw a need for it. I've always had a badass machine, a badass PC. Never had a need to get internet on my phone, but seeing the innovations with phone technology and how that's tying in just with tablets and things like that, being able to, especially with this, tie this in, like even with a lot of satellite technology and cable technology, you can use your telephone to operate your receiver with apps. And the power of apps is the thing that really kind of draws me to it. And that's what Microsoft did. They decided to go with a software solution to a hardware problem.
Yeah.
And so through the innovation of software, they've been able to create apps that work across multi-platforms in order to integrate media with your app on your tablet or your phone device.
Now, one thing I really want to see with this is the ability, because if you hop onto Microsoft's website and you go to the Xbox section, you log in, you can purchase DLCs, you can purchase arcade games through there, and you can actually queue it up to download. If your console's on, it'll go ahead and download it for you right then and there, so it's ready to go when you get to it. Now, if they had an ability for you to be able to actually turn your console on, mobile, you know, just hit a button, it turns your console on, it starts queuing up your downloads that you want, that would make me happy, which also comes into a problem that is with the HDMI, that if your TV's turned off, the HDMI makes your console sit on the splash screen.
Well, yeah.
And will not load up the rest of the way.
Well, the HDMI integration with a lot of things. There's a lot of things that do that.
Oh, yeah, I know. But if they could figure out a way around that, at least to get the back of the system turned on, even though you're still on the splash screen, to allow for downloads.
Oh, there's already a way around that. That's not that hard.
I mean, there's ways for Xbox to actually do it, though. That's what I'm talking about.
Well, there's a lot of Blu-ray devices, and I deal with this and the technology that I deal with now, that actually auto-on your TV.
Yeah.
Or you can plug it in and turn on your Blu-ray player, and then it'll switch your TV input to whatever input the Blu-ray's on based on HDMI.
Yeah. I know there's ways around it, but for Microsoft to finally put it into something that's a mobile app, you know, like I have a Windows phone and I have Xbox Live on my phone, so I'm able to access all my stuff. I can even access my mailbox on there, and which is great, you know, and check everything I need to if I want. And I just wish that there was a way to turn it on.
So, but the bigger integration with this, to kind of give people an idea, is they had a demo where they had Halo 4.
Yeah.
And they were setting up the matchmaking on their phone, and then jumping into gameplay on Halo.
And they could actually access their friends' bios. They had a full lineup of everybody that was on their team, and they could just sit there and thumb through it like a slide and pick their friend, and it shows them their bio, game stats, all that crap. That was cool. And you could even hold it up and look at the TV with it and find waypoints that'll actually go into Halo Waypoint, which is the basically the leveling tracker that's on Xbox Live, for those who don't know it.
And, it was a Halo stat tracker.
Yeah, and the person was able to basically hold it up. It would actually show the screen, and it just interacted with it and showed a Halo marker. It said, like, you know, Halo waypoint added, and then that unlocked something on the waypoint.
Could you imagine, instead of pulling up the home screen to do stuff, you had your tablet or your Windows phone or whatever, and you just send a message on your tablet. So like you're sending a text message.
Yeah.
Or you're in the middle of a game or whatever, and need to add somebody to the party. Rather than pull up the home screen, you just have your tablet or your phone next to you, and you sit there and you just add friend. Or you could even plug your headset into your fucking phone.
Oh, I remember what it did now. Whenever he held it up and it did the waypoint thing, it unlocked it. And what he was able to do is click on it on his tab, and it actually gave him a bio, because it was a wrecked ship, and it was giving him the whole bio of that ship, the information about it. So he knew about it before he actually got to that point in the game. He knew what the ship was, the backstory, what Master Chief would know about it at that time. It was pretty cool.
Well, they were also showing it with a football game, and so the play-by-play, he was actually setting up his
gameplay.
Yeah, his actual strategy for the game on his tablet, and then playing the game live.
Well, what he did was he had everything ready to go. He was calling the gameplay, and usually on Madden, you have to pull the side menu, choose what your gameplay is, and edit it if you want. He's able to do that. Game's still going. Everybody waiting for the fucking hike. He's sitting here, pulls up his tab, clicks a button, slides sideways, and opens up his entire game book. He's able to choose player. He selected this one player so he could edit it. It shows the gameplay all mapped out on the pad. He highlighted that one, drew a line for him to go about mid and then to the left, and it was a crooked line and shit, and then it auto-corrected it and made it perfect. Then it had anchors where you could grab it and make him go deep or go this way, that way. And then as soon as he hit play, he was actually controlling his character with the pad by holding his finger down and telling him which way
to
run.
So he has that touchpad technology.
Yeah. And then he tapped it, and he threw the pass. And he scored the fucking... Yeah, he scored. So, you know, you're like, awesome. That's fucking amazing. You can just sit there and do it that way.
So that's one of the things that I think was actually a huge reveal.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a huge leap in technology. And drawing off of that, there's something I dug up today while I was up at work, and that was... There's a new touchscreen coming out.
Oh, really?
And this is going to be completely amazing.
Is this multi?
It's called the Tactus touchscreen.
Tactus.
What Tactus does is it takes an electrical impulse and creates a rigid surface on a screen to any shape that you can draw.
So you can actually feel textures.
Like what they were showing, and it operates in nanoseconds. So they were showing like a keyboard came up, and the screen just raised up.
And turned into a keyboard.
On the screen. It's something that you
can
feel.
Oh my god, this is fucking Flash Gordon shit. I didn't see that.
You're talking about like...
That's some crazy shit.
I knew it would be a big...
Can you make boobs? Kenobi, you're my only hope. You know, you're talking about all grades.
No, can you make boobs?
You can make any shape.
Boobs. Vagina. You can make anything you want.
And you can feel this through electrical impulses?
Well, here's the real thing that I thought would be neat. And so I was thinking about this.
I put my dick in this.
Yeah.
Is if you know right now with the iPad, and the iPhone,
yeah, you're a dick and fat.
But think about right now, they have the suction cup controller that you can use for that. Fuck that shit. Yeah. You can now have a D-pad, or you could have a controller
that will actually move with your fingers. That's fucking amazing. It's like liquid technology.
It is.
Much.
It's the most innovative thing I've ever seen. In
I gotta
life.
Find. I did not see
like
that.
I looked at this, and I looked at my buddy John, and I looked at it, and I was like, "I'm gonna watch that again."
It's like we are living in the future.
Yeah. He's like, "Doesn't that blow you away?" And I was like, "Yeah, that really blows me away.
That blows my dogs."
Makes me want to get a job doing something like that because you get to play with it for years before anyone else.
An explanation for blows my dogs. We were playing Diablo this past week on hardcore, and the guy I work with, he's playing a fucking witch doctor, saying it's hellhounds.
Yeah, they zombie dogs.
Yeah, and in the middle of every fight, they just explode, and we get done with the boss fight. He's like, "Yeah, I blew my dogs on that one." And we just sort of
bust out. For anyone that's not played it, it's like it's corpse explosion for your own guys instead of for dead bodies.
Yeah.
It's your own.
Yeah.
You know,
and every time he's just like, "Yeah, man, I blew my dogs twice on that." And I was just like, and we just kept.
He said it,
on.
And there was an awkward silence for a second. And we just
that's
died
how
laughing.
He is at work. I told you that he is socially awkward. I told you that Ken,
like he didn't see it coming at all. And that was hilarious.
I was like, Ken is that guy who just says these things with this the way he says them just blows you away. Sometimes you're just like, you are a serial killer.
It just blows your dogs when he says it.
Yeah,
it
blows
right?
your dogs. Yeah, and it's just he gets real serious and just mom is like, I blew my dogs twice on that one. It just gets real quiet. And I was like, that's going to end up on the podcast.
Nice.
But I told you playing with him would be a hoot. So. But yeah, no, that's pretty fucking awesome. Is it Tactus?
Yeah, it's called Tactus, and I'm going to put a link on the site. In fact, I'm going to... People can hear me moving the paper around.
I didn't hear about that
Tactical one. Cactus.
Yeah,
that's
that is really fucking awesome that they could do. Did they give any idea of where it was going to be implemented or when?
They were just talking. They had it on a tablet, and I couldn't tell what kind of tablet it is. But I'm going to link this on our page.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a hell of a link dump on this.
That's like innovative. That's beyond innovative technology. That's just
that's next generation badass bullshit.
Yeah, that's
more high tech than the Starship Enterprise from Next Generation.
They still
had touchscreen.
They had the holodeck.
They had the holodeck. But if you watched all their screens,
it was
smart glass.
Smart glass.
It was basically
they had their little programmer and it would go up on a big screen.
Yeah, that's true. They did have that. So we get that this year, and we get this tactile responsible fucking pads.
Picard better watch his ass. We're gonna come up.
No shit, man.
So, but that's an innovation that I thought that everybody would enjoy.
It's like, feel what herpes feels like. I go into sex ed, so I just go like rubbing on it. Go, oh, it's bumpy.
Uh-oh.
Think about other applications of this. You have somebody that's blind.
Oh, yeah. Braille.
Just right off the bat.
Total Braille. Really awesome.
I mean, that means that a blind person could have an e-book.
Well, imagine using it on a mouse. And it's like you could use it, and it actually tells you the direction to go in to find something on the page to go to the next page.
Well, I mean, they already have internet for blind people, but it sucks. I mean, it's not the same. If you had this for somebody that's blind, they could at least know exactly what's going on. They could surf the internet mm-hmm. with a tablet, and that would be something that's never really happened before.
The whole screen could be barely run their hand over it, or actually when they're reading, they could set it to a scroll speed and put their finger there, their hand there, and it would scroll underneath their fingers. They stand still, they don't lose spot on the page.
Tactus, hire us. Reads. Hire us. We know what we're talking about.
We know this shit.
So I want to see how you program in this. That's interesting.
It's pretty slick.
Yeah, I gotta see how you... I don't know if it would just do like... If the application itself would just recognize characters and put them up. Or if it would be a matter of you actually have to program.
I'm sure there's something to program in it, but...
I think it would just be more it can actually read the characters and put them up.
Translates it. Yeah. Imprint.
Yeah.
But just think about that if you had that with your 360 and you wanted to add an additional control to it, mm-hmm. you use something like Tactus, there's your next gen right there.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing.
You fucking killed everything else.
See, people, there's a lot of tech that can be integrated in to keep these consoles around.
So speaking of stuff like that, I wanted to talk a little bit about the new Wiimote.
Yeah.
Two things. First thing I'm going to do is start off with the hardcore controller. Mm. And the hardcore controller is basically a bigger version of the Xbox controller. But the thing that I think is interesting, again, we didn't take this the direction that I wanted it to totally. And I wanted them to wow me a little bit more than they did. But they did do something that I was interested in. They showed us some hardcore games, which I'll talk about.
Yeah.
And they showed us a hardcore controller. So they showed us this Xbox controller, basically, that you can use with your Wii now. And they're already releasing things like Battlefield on it. I know they're going to be releasing Batman on it. And they got a game called Zombie U that I'm going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
But having that hardcore controller means that it, to me, that they're kind of focusing on some of the core games. And that's interesting in itself. I think Nintendo in general has always had this appeal towards a younger generation.
And families
and things like that. And especially with the Wii. I mean, they just went balls to the wall with family entertainment with it. And became more of a toy than anything else. Because they didn't appeal to a lot of hardcore gamers, a lot of people that buy software, Xbox and PS3 firmly surpassed it in software sales on any other release other than Mario.
Well, their main target wasn't actual gamers. They were trying to get people who don't play games but want to have fun. You just want to do fun things.
And the thing that they're doing right now with it is kind of interesting because they got that aspect of it still, mm-hmm. with a heavier processor and more power, but they're also introducing this hardcore side. So having the two sides to that, I think, is neat. Though, here's the interesting parallel I was drawing in my head when I was coming home from work today, is you have Xbox, which has these Xbox Live Arcade games, which are essentially, you know, inexpensive games to make. They're not any of the core games that you have. They're not any of the, you know, we're not talking Battlefield here. We're not talking about Mass Effect. We're talking about something really basic that's fun, you know. You had Castle Crashers and things like that. Great games.
Love it.
But not inexpensive to make. Where you have Nintendo, which has these same games, which is basically like Mario Galaxies and things like that, which are a little bit more high-tech than Castle Crashers for sure. But they sell them for $50. Mm-hmm. So on Xbox, for $15, you can get that experience that you could with a group of friends on Mario for $15. And that's the thing I always thought that Nintendo was lacking is their arcade section needs to be more of these Mario-based games and these fan-favorite classics that they're always integrating to their franchise. And then build these more expansive games into that $60, $50, $60 price bracket.
Yeah.
So that's one up on Xbox versus Wii when it comes to that. But Wii has always had a stronger base when it came to casual gaming. So you have all these extra games that you have that are strictly based towards families and groups of friends and parties and things like that. They've always had that, but now with the new hardcore remote, I can kind of see that return to hardcore gaming, and I'm interested with that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the tablet itself that we've looked at, I don't think it's quite as innovative as what we're seeing with the new, you know, Xbox Glass. But having the extra controller on there, plus that, showed some interesting gameplay elements that I haven't really seen of a lot of things, and one of those things I wanted to highlight was Zombie U.
Oh, yeah.
I showed you some of this. Did you see any of the zombie use stuff?
I have not.
Well, one thing before we jump into that is it's not just that they use the controller to actually play the game. They actually use the controller to make the game more difficult.
They use it to make it, they add an extra layer of depth.
Yeah.
And with Zombie U, what it is, it's basically a game that's going to be a Wii exclusive.
Yeah.
Where you have one life to live. And so this is a true zombie survival game. You haven't had one of those in a long time. You haven't had any survival games in a while. But basically what it is you go out and you survive for as long as you can, and then you die. When you die, you awake as somebody else, and that other person can go and pick up what they call the bug bag.
Yeah. Well, the bug out bag.
Bug out bag, yeah.
It's not a survivalist. That, I know that term pretty well.
Yeah. So basically, when you go back out into the world, there's a zombie version of your last character with that bug out bag.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to grab that bug out bag and basically survive as long as you can.
Yeah, there is no end to the game either.
From what not that I could tell.
Yeah, well, they sort of said there is no end. They just...
And so they were saying that one of the things that's interesting about it is you could level up for a couple of hours and have some pretty good abilities with certain skills. And then if you die, of course, that's gone. There's no checkpoints. There's no saving. It's a hardcore game.
Yeah, you can.
This is kind of like almost in the Dark Souls era.
You can get bit, but it's one of those things that I think they said that it's first person, except for when you're doing certain things, like going and looking at your bag. And when you do something like open a bag or a crate, that's when you use the Wii U controller, and that acts as a screen to show you what's in there, and you can select what you want. And what it does is it gets your eyes off the screen, so you're not paying attention to what's going on around you, which makes it kind of, we're going to distract you for a second.
Well, you have to keep an eye out. You look down at your pad, which is your bag, and it shows, you can still see on the screen what's going on, but you're looking in your inventory.
But it's pulling your attention
away. And so you select something from your inventory, then you instantly pull that out, and you can look back at the screen again. But it's interesting in that aspect, they're using that as your inventory space, because I wanted to see that in Zelda, and they were talking about it in Zelda last year.
Yeah.
But that looked really interesting. It actually looked pretty good, too.
Yeah.
Looked very much current gen, but...
Yeah, there were a couple other things they were doing, like sniper rifles. You actually use the Wii U, and you hold it up, the controller. You hold it up, and that's your scope and everything, and you can use the controls to zoom in and fire. But what they did is it's only giving you a small portion of the screen on the Wii U, so you're kind of not seeing what's on the sides, just like you would if you were in a scope mode. So it's kind of designed to kind of throw you off, because you're not going to notice a zombie coming onto the screen on the left, since that's not what you're looking at. It's up in your face, and then all of a sudden the zombie attacks you. And it only goes, you're only going to die when it goes into third person mode and shows you on the ground. Then you're struggling, you're about to die, and then you die. And they said there's a way to kind of heal yourself, in a sense, that there's a...
they had something called, what they call it, zombie juice or something.
Zombie juice, but it's basically a zombie syringe that you can shoot up. And they said there's very few of them in the game. So it's not something you find very often, but if it's like you're hurt and you need to get healed, you can use it, and it'll go ahead and replenish your health. But we watched a guy use it, and he still got dropped. Like, just
a second later.
The demo player we were watching...
he purposely died.
Well, I know he did. Yeah. They made him last about 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, heard that before.
yeah. And it instantly, as soon as he died... It showed the next person waking up.
Yeah, he woke up as a completely separate survivor in a different area. Then he was traversing the area to go back and try to find his bug out bag.
Yeah.
That seems like something I would save up for maybe until I got really good at the game.
Yeah.
And I would have like 2 or 3, 4 of them by the time. And then when I have all my abilities and stuff, then I choose the guy I want to save. Or girl, whatever I wake as. But,
I don't think you can even save. I don't think there is a save option. You just go as long as you can.
So come home from work, start up a whole new game?
I think that, from what they said, there's no saving, there's no checkpoints, there's no nothing, there's no second lives, no second chance.
For Victor's pack rat lifestyle.
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how well this would work.
I like to collect things and stuff.
It's definitely a game I'm interested in checking out. I would like to see. It's just one of those things where buying a brand new console, a Wii, at said price.
Nintendo. Come on.
I know.
I need a Wii.
I know. I'm just kind of one of those things where it's just like, I would love to check it out.
Oh, that's a call out to them.
Yeah. I would love to check it out, but it's one of those things with the price tag right now. Who knows? Maybe my boss will buy me one for Christmas.
What's it cost?
How much is a Wii U?
They have no set price point. It's ranged anywhere from $200 to $600 in the price point.
I could see $400.
I would hope $400. I could do a guess here.
I could go with $300.
Yeah, I would go with max maybe
$300. $300 would be a paycheck blown for me to buy it.
I would hope $400 as a minimum, because $300 seems a little low for it, especially for a replacement console for the Wii. But I would hope for 400.
Well, you're looking at tablet prices, though. That's what. That's basically the technology they're going to spend on it.
But there's no processing done on the tablet at all.
Mm-hmm.
They're streaming everything over to the tablet.
Yeah.
So the only thing it is just an LCD screen that displays video.
Yeah.
So 300 is not. I'm gonna go with 301, Bob.
301. I'm going with 350.
Okay. Show me 351,
Bob. Anyway. I'm gonna be that guy on the show.
Yeah. So anyways.
Yeah, I think with the Wii, I wanted to see some more interesting stuff. The only thing I can remember offhand is I know the processor that we're looking at was going to be a 3 gigahertz quad core with a custom AMD graphics card that's going to be in it. And obviously they're making better use of current gen tech to keep the price down.
Yeah.
But we'll see what happens with it.
Well,
again, at least it looks decent.
Yeah.
That's the thing I was worried about. And I saw some other games on there that I wasn't quite as interested in.
Mm-hmm.
Which, since we're talking Nintendo, I can kind of bring up.
Well, one thing I was going to say is that you weren't the only one that was kind of disappointed with what they did unveil. After their unveiling on Tuesday for their showcase, their stock dropped 2 points. So,
I think a lot of people were expecting a little bit more of the hardcore games, and they didn't show enough of those off. Yeah.
Well, a lot of people are wondering. It's like this. Nintendo usually comes out with a straight statement as to what their goal is, who they're trying to appeal
dancing.
To.
They've been dancing.
Yeah, and they haven't said anything about who they're trying to appeal to, who they're trying to capture, what's going on. And I think that's because they're not trying to appeal to just one group. They're trying to appeal to a lot of people. For family, they have Nintendo Land, crap like that.
Yeah, I was going to bring up Nintendo Land.
Yeah, I have not said anything else about it, but we'll get into it. And then for the hardcore gamers, they're bringing over some EA stuff and Warner Brothers and all that. And so they're trying to appeal to everybody once again. And I just think that they're not afraid. They're just hesitant on saying it. They're like, okay, we fucked up. You know, we did the Wii, we got this, but
we got a shitload of sales out of the Wii. But
we should have done this in the first place.
We know that nobody goes to midnight pre-releases for Wii games.
Yeah,
we know that our software sales aren't to the same caliber that everything else is. They have where Wii has like 4 big titles a year. Xbox and PS3 have
like 30, 40.
Yeah, 20 to 40 releases that people go to midnight releases for.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Nobody does that for Wii titles. Even Mario. I mean,
like
people are just like,
I'll 2 million pre-order sales. Yeah, Wii doesn't get that.
Well, I'll tell you, from hardcore Nintendo, since I was 5 years old playing my freaking NES, right,
yeah,
with my brothers, having to fight them for a controller, you know,
mm-hmm,
there's 4 of us, and we would just duke it out till the least bloody one would pick up the controller as a victory dance and run as Mario, you know, and jump on Yoshi eventually. But, so, I mean, that's where I come from, and I'm hardcore Nintendo. The most fun I've had on that game, on that system, since it came out, since I bought it, like that, right before Christmas, for myself, as a selfish present, it went a month after it came out, has been the boxing, the sword fighting, the basketball, the games that it comes with.
They're gonna still have that stuff. I think the most fun I had was No More Heroes, was probably the most fun game I played
on. Yeah, I'd have to go back to No More Heroes.
Yeah, it's a good game.
But speaking of the games like that, they're going to do... So Nintendo Land is the new dashboard thing they're doing, which
I think it looks like Nintendo Wii. The graphics
fucking ridiculous. I'm a little upset about that.
I see a point for it.
Are we gonna have game codes again? Because everybody loves game codes.
No, I see a point for Nintendo Land when it still comes to the family aspect of Nintendo. They want to cater to everybody, so they have to do something like Nintendo Land, where it's basically, it's a carousel. It's a big Nintendo Land. There's a train going around it. Avatars walk around. The avatars look gay as shit. But anyways, and there's these archways which lead to different areas. And they said that they're going to have games that integrate with familiar franchises like Zelda, Mario, all that stuff. I think Crash Bandicoot is also was mentioned in that. And it's basically going to be able to play Wii games.
I thought Crash was a Sony title.
I think he's over. I think they said Crash was going to be on there.
They might have.
Anyways, who cares? By the way, you're going to be able to access Wii games again that are going to integrate characters from those well-known titles that everybody loves. Probably even, I think they probably will have Samus on there for something, because that's become a big title for Nintendo again.
Well, I was going to say, one of the things that I saw a lot of gameplay of on the casual side of things was the Luigi's Mansion.
Ooh, nice.
Luigi's Mansion, again, looked like an HD version of a Wii game. That's really what it looked like.
Yeah.
But it had some interesting co-op gameplay aspects. What it was is everybody else has a Wiimote. Mm-hmm. The person that's going to play the ghost uses the Wii pad. And so the people with the Wiimotes run around, and the only way they know a ghost is near is the Wiimote vibrates. So you're going to still use your Wiimote anyway.
I see what some people are going to use that for.
But
creep up behind me. Creep up behind me.
Creep.
Just wait. Creep a little slower. Creep a little slower. Yeah, a minute.
Go back.
Oh, yeah, creeping.
Okay, come closer. Yeah.
So the idea is the ghost is there to, like, scare him. And one thing they borrowed from Remedy is they borrowed the flashlight thing. And not that Luigi's Mansion didn't have a flashlight to begin with, but you use the flashlight to kill the ghost.
Yeah.
You also use the flashlight to revive characters. And so the idea is the ghost goes around in this maze looking for people to scare or get close to, and he gets close enough to him, they, you know, kill over. And if he can do that to everybody, then he wins. But the players have to all kill the ghost. So they can't see him, though, so they got to use their flashlights and shine in the direction.
See, that sounds like a good drunk game.
So, but
oh, yeah.
You see the ghost on the Wii pad, but you don't see it on the screen. So everybody else is running around, while the guy with the Wii pad is the one that's playing the ghost. So I thought that was an interesting element, an interesting party game, something that I get with the console release and play it, like you said, as a drunk party game.
Yeah.
Don't see putting 14 hours into it, though.
I don't see a single player in it very often, so...
No.
Yeah.
Now, is this five... Are you talking about Ultimate five-player or still four-player? Just someone's using their
I think it's five-player.
Yeah, I think it's five controllers and then one using the...
That's going to be awesome. That's what I would do it for. Because, I mean, even with four controllers, I still got a bunch of buddies over.
Mm-hmm.
Four is not enough sometimes. Someone's sitting out.
Yeah, that one makes a difference.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, they had Legend of Zelda Battle Quest,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't find any gameplay footage for yet. I'll probably look that up, but... Again, a co-op Zelda game, which could be like, what was the co-op one that they had? Was it Wind Waker or whatever?
They had Wind Waker, and then they had that, the four...
Four Swords?
Yeah, the Four Swords.
Mm.
So, it's kind of maybe doing something like that. But one of the other ones they showcased, we saw the Throwing Star game. They released a name for that.
That one's been around for
a while. Takamaru's Ninja Castle. And then they're going to have a Donkey Kong game for...
yeah, it looks like you're jacking up.
Yeah.
Can I jack it at the screen and throw stars? I ejaculate bunch of stars in the eyes. In the eyes.
Yeah.
Girls will be much less requesting pearl necklaces.
Like,
I'm not going to go for a pearl necklace. How about you blow it over that wall over there?
I like the screen.
Skeet, skeet.
Yeah. Skeet, skeet.
Fap, 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 fap.
Fap's old school. Skeet's cool.
Fap and skeet.
Spill my beer over here. Calm down.
So, anyways.
Speaking of that, Toe Jam and Earl need to make a comeback.
Dude, Sega, though.
So, I was thinking of a game called Fap and Ski.
So, anyways, moving along. Nintendo didn't really wow us with that. They wowed me a little bit with the hardcore stuff because, hey, that looked pretty neat. A little bit of the stuff they were doing with Arkham City, they were doing the gadgets and stuff like that using the Wii Pad as part of the gadget interface.
But they also said that they were going to be able to add extra stuff in, extra little gadgets into the suit that weren't in the other ones. Because they were talking about, you know, people who spent $60 and played this originally on Xbox, PC, whatever. Why would they spend $60 to play it on the Wii U? And he's like, we're going to add new stuff in that is only accessible from that thing and from the pad. And it's just extra little bits of technology that you can use for different things. So I was like, that's kind of cool. And they showed the guy actually using the pad for the detective mode when you're looking around.
Yeah.
And you could zone in on something and push the buttons and you'd go ahead and analyze it. And that was pretty cool. So I just hope that it's not going to be one of those things where to be in detective vision, you have to look at the pad every time. That would kind of get annoying.
Yeah, because a lot of people play detective vision.
Yeah, I love it. It's fun to sit there and watch you beat the crap out of skeletons. You know?
So, but either way, I mean, those were the things that I really noticed with Wii. And, yeah, there are some neat aspects of it. I'll probably buy it. But I'm really more interested in if they can make it more innovative than what they're doing with Xbox Glass. Because, essentially, with the power of an app, Xbox Glass can do everything the Smart Glass can do everything that could do.
Yeah. And it's not like you're tied to any... I mean, you know, you can use a smartphone. You can use a pad. It doesn't matter. It's like, and it's not something you had to purchase. A lot of people already have that technology sitting around their house. And now they can integrate it right in.
Well, and now it's like one of the new Android tablets has a quad core now.
Yeah.
That's coming out here in a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's the technology and the processing speed is there on the, you know, mobile devices for it to do some of the things that you need to do.
Yeah.
So, and as long as it's not required for some things,
yeah,
I think it'll be all right. But either way, important innovations in tech.
Yes.
One other thing I was going to bring up was... Darksiders 2. And the reason I wanted to bring this up is we've been looking forward to it. It was originally slated for release this week, And it's kind of like THQ's last big hope to stay in business right now.
Yeah.
And I think Darksiders 2 is going to be the only thing that really keeps them afloat, and if it does really well, can maybe make them release a few more games.
Mm-hmm.
But really the thing that kind of struck me is, I mean, you're seeing all these new tech with different things and seeing how well everything else looks, and then you have Darksiders 2, which looked about like Darksiders 1. And not that that looked bad. It's just it doesn't... I mean, it's just the art style is really what's carrying. It's just like World of Warcraft. The longevity of that game was based on the art style, the distinctive art style of the game, which didn't matter how bad the graphics looked, it still worked with the graphics. And so they kind of done the same thing with Darksiders 2. They got, it's not Todd McFarlane, but it's a guy that draws similar to Todd McFarlane that does a lot of the art, and it's got the big bulky shoulders and things like that.
Yeah.
And of course, you're playing Death, everybody knows that. They're supposedly making this a much larger game than the original Darksiders. The original Darksiders is easily like a 25-hour game. It's fucking huge. It's amazing. It's a really great game. But either way, they're going to upgrade the size. They're significantly upgrading the size. And they're also giving you a horse right out of the gate so that you can explore the open world, which is neat because I'm glad they're kind of going towards the open world direction with Darksiders to kind of give you a more true to that whole Zelda formula where you can just sit there and explore and do quests and kind of take the game at your own pace.
Yeah.
So that ought to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. It doesn't come out till August 14th.
Mm-hmm.
And supposedly it's slated for the Wii U. So that means that...
And that was one of the ones that they showed at E3 on, the Wii U. So they showed, I think, it was Battlefield 3, Batman, Arkham, and then they showed Darksiders 2, and they had some EA titles. They actually had EA as their backdrop when they were out there talking about it, which... EA has a huge lineup of games that go from BioWare suite...
Well, the other thing, though, that you're not realizing about EA, and I'm just saying this because I recently was reading articles on it, is they went from a release schedule of like 40 core titles to like 14 to focus on a lot of their mobile games.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're focusing more on a browser environment and mobile environment than they are in the core titles now.
Yeah, but to have EA as their backdrop seemed like it was kind of significant that they wanted people to know most definitely they were going to be bringing over EA titles to the Wii U.
I think it'll probably be more sports initially.
Maybe, yeah.
And I've heard rumors of Mass Effect being moved over to Wii U.
That's kind of what I was aiming at, was Dead Space and Mass Effect. So,
and I could see those titles being moved over to Wii U.
Yeah, Dead Space is definitely one of the ones I was kind of aiming at because Dead Space has a lot.
So, speaking of Dead Space, what did you dig up on it?
Oh, Dead Space. Well, Dead Space 3 is finally coming out. So, February 13th. February of 2013, sorry. And got to see some really cool gameplay that still lives up to what you expect from Dead Space. The basic story is you're still playing as Isaac, and you seem to have your own crew now. I think three or four people. And you're going after the origin of the marker, from what they kind of said in the cinematic. And you crash land. Your shit gets ripped apart, and you're separated. And eventually, you actually meet up with a buddy, who ends up being a co-opable player. So you can actually have in-game story co-op, both running around, doing your thing, and you're fighting necromorphs as well as humans. And they actually show a scene where you go out, after handling this gigantic drill... You know, with the familiar stuff like stasis and the buzzsaw gun and all that stuff, the Ripper. You end up going outside and you're met up by a group of very armed, hostile humans, which you then get into a gunfight with. But out of nowhere, this gigantic motherfucker who's very reminiscent to the boss at the end of Dead Space 1 shows up, and everybody starts freaking out. And now you and the guys are kind of hiding, and you actually, I think, grab one of them and shove them on the ground and just go, stay here, you know? And you pop out there and you
kind of realize what the real danger is.
Yeah, what the real danger is. And you're sitting here fighting this thing and it eats you. It eats you and the screen goes dark. And you're just like, holy shit. It's kind of like how they ended Dead Space 2 with the preview for that one. And so it eats him, but then it comes back and it's Isaac's visor's turned on and he's actually inside the stomach of this thing. And the other half of his body is caught inside of a digestive tube, which he then gets sucked down, and the camera follows him all the way through this digestive tract, which is kind of cool with the sides folding in. And he gets dropped into its stomach with acid everywhere. And when the camera focuses, you see these very familiar orange orbs on this little thing peek up and look at him. And it's obvious you're going to have to shoot the shit out of these things to get this thing to throw you up, maybe. And it starts to attack you, and that's the end of the preview. but it looks phenomenal. It's got the co-op player, which looks great. You can do stuff to help each other out. Graphics look cool, and you are on a snow planet, like they talked about when they accidentally... Well, they didn't accidentally, but when they jokingly pretended, like, if we were going to do Dead Space 3...
It'd be like Lost Planet.
They'd say we would put it on a snow planet. And yeah. They ended up finally confirming that months later. And then we finally got to see it, and it does look good. So it looks very badass.
Well, speaking of Lost Planet, did you guys see those...
Lost Planet 3?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw a little bit about it. I maybe didn't catch as much as you did, Vic. What did you catch from it?
Well, the gameplay looked about the same. You're rocking the grappling hook. You also use a gigantic mech.
Well, yeah, you got to have your gigantic mech.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, it's pretty cool. Creatures are attacking you. It does freeze up intermittently. You got to get out and shoot off your hinges, basically your joints and stuff, so you can get back in it. It's kind of like a... Just kind of slows down your progression.
Mm-hmm. Well, so here's the thing. Like, Lost Planet 1 and Lost Planet 2 were good ideas that didn't pay off. And it's like, Lost Planet 2, the demo they had of that, man, I had a blast of the demo. But I didn't really like the game that much. And I played through the game, and I just couldn't get into it. And I ended up trading it out. Mm-hmm. It's a different studio that's doing Lost Planet 3. And they haven't really done anything of note that I'm really all that excited about. But from the stuff I saw at E3... It looks interesting. Like, again, I'm just seeing snippets of game footage. Does that coalesce into a good game? I don't know. I'm going to be skeptical. But I have high hopes for it. I really want this to be good because I've always wanted to play giant monster fights with my friends. I always liked that idea. Like, I've always liked that. That's the whole reason I played MMOs originally was the big boss fights.
When the demo came out, he was all about, everybody needs to get this and play it tonight. But yeah. It's just like,
And the demo wasn't bad, but...
It wasn't bad, no.
It's just it... The rest of the gameplay ended up being really, really boring.
Yeah, and then
the mechanics didn't work very well with the shooting and a lot of other things, and it just...
And then Insect Armageddon came out, like, years later.
And Insect Armageddon is not an amazing game, but it is a perfect... If you just want to fuck around with your friends, it's pretty good for that.
And kill giant things.
So, we need to play that soon.
You have it on PC.
I'm ready whenever you are.
Do you have it on PC?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
I'll get it.
I bought it for, like, 5 people on Christmas.
Yeah, actually, you bought it for me. I remember. I came home from work one morning, and it was sitting in my
I spent $100 on Insect Armageddon.
You guys are the cutest couple I've ever seen, really. Do your beards get caught, like, you know, Velcro when you're making out?
Well, he shaves his more often than I do.
It is kind of strange.
I just do scruff.
This is kind of a month of progression here.
You like this?
Yeah.
4 days right here.
You're finally, 4 days. You're finally growing some.
Yeah, it's more like a week. I'm lying. But you can see it if you get close enough. You can feel it if you want to.
It's like a baby's nut.
Just a little peach fuzz on that left nut there.
It's like a woman's thigh.
Well, speaking of Injustice,
yeah.
NetherRealm, one of our favorite studios, the guys that did Mortal Kombat, saw Ed Boon give off a press demo of Injustice. And what Injustice is we all know what Marvel vs. Capcom is. It's a cartoony fighter game with Marvel characters versus Capcom. Well, Injustice is DC characters versus DC characters. Now, I know some comic nerds up at work, one of our favorites from Elseworlds podcast, Chuck, which we've talked to. All of us know Chuck here, and you can know him too if you click on the link. He's trying to figure out how they're going to do the story where why would Superman fight Batman? You know, things like that. And I can understand that. But to me, it's a fighting game.
Yeah, they had it slated for a movie. They were actually going to do that.
Yeah, and fuck a movie idea.
Yeah.
But Mortal Kombat
they trashed it. They're looking at doing a Justice League now.
Well, after the Avengers, yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, that's why. But they don't want to cast Christian Bale or anybody. They want to start fresh with new faces and do a Justice League movie.
They could, but they've got such better characters.
Yeah. Well, it's just they got the same guy who's doing the Logan's Run revamp, and what else did he... He worked on something recently, but they have him writing it, and I was just kind of like, we'll see.
Well, what I was going to get at is we all saw Mortal Kombat, and I remember... When I was up at PAX, me and Holly and everybody else that was involved with the show ended up kind of getting buddy-a-buddy with one of the developers. He was a really cool guy. He just ended up being one of the other Gen X people there that just kind of had all of our same interests, and he didn't find a lot of people with all the nerds there. And not that we don't love nerds, because we are too, but we're also kind of Gen X nerds.
There's different, you know, classes of nerds.
There's nerds, and then there's carving your own Dungeons & Dragons figurines out of...
Yeah. balsa wood.
Yeah.
And, well, you have Trent, who's Bondo. Making
Apple of Eden.
Apple of Eden, which is sitting on the table over there.
Yeah. Have you seen that?
I've been watching. I've been looking at it. I mean, really. It is pretty badass, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been making that out of resin.
Oh, my hand. Not resin, it's Bondo, but yeah.
Or not to slight nerds by any means, but...
It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
We found a common ground with one of the people from Netherrealm that's been doing it for a long time, and...
he painted his little Warhammer guys.
Austin Battlehammer. Anyone who's listening right now, just type in Falstad Battlehammer. Red shirt guy owns Blizzard. Type it in on YouTube right now, middle of the show. We won't even hold it against you to pause this for a second, and you will piss your pants.
You'll have to find the link for me later, Vic.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, talking with them, kind of got a good relationship with Mortal Kombat. And after playing that game, that was easily the best fighting game that came out when it did. And that came out, what, last year?
Yeah, it came out last year. And one of the things that really had its good grace is that it was trying to revitalize that whole arcade feel.
And it did. I mean, you don't. It's not very often that you can sit in your room. I can sit in my room. Friends of ours overseas can sit in their living room.
Yeah.
Friends of ours across the United States can sit in their living room, and we can have a King of the Hill match.
Yeah, and we can sit there and play each other over and over again, like it was the arcade, waiting for our turn to go up once somebody loses, and just keep going and try and take their crown. And now we're the victorious one. As long as we keep winning, we stay up there fighting everybody. And you can watch. You can watch and until it's your turn.
And you can sit there and obviously bullshit.
And hold up signs. You can like throw up little emotes that say like, you know, good job or you suck, you know, stuff like that. It's really fun.
It was a really innovative idea, and then just that in general is pretty cool. And obviously Mortal Kombat looked badass as shit.
Yeah.
On top of that, easily one of the longest campaigns that I've ever played in a fighting game. It was like 25 hours
of campaign in
Mortal Kombat.
Plus, they tried to tap into the whole just, you know, Generation X thing with they brought Freddy Krueger as a freaking DLC character that you could get. I mean,
the guys that are making it are our age. Yeah. That's the reason.
Yeah.
I mean, aside from
that's what I'm talking about, yeah. Is because back then in our youth when we were playing Mortal Kombat is when, like, you know, Freddy Goes to Hell comes out and, like, you know, Not Run Elm Street, fucking whatever came out. It was like kind of the end of that whole series.
It was the whole our generation is the Freddy and Jason
that came out later on. Ours is the original series.
Freddy and Jason series
from Freddy 1 all the way from Nightmare 1 all the way to the very end of the original franchise, as well as probably Friday the 13th 3. All the way up, because the other ones came out a little bit earlier. So,
well, Mortal Kombat was the original gratuitous violence game.
Oh yeah,
you know that was the first one that, you know, all of our parents were all up in arms about.
Mm-hmm.
And
so you didn't.
It was the first game that all of us were secretly playing at our buddy's house.
Well, you didn't see anybody throwing a fit about Killer Instinct or anything.
Yeah. Well, Instinct. Then you had Street Fighter 2, and then Street Fighter 2 Alpha. That's when we started getting the fist fights going for the Super.
Yeah,
I remember that with bloody noses and busted lips.
Yeah, and we got people. Yeah, that was the first time you saw blood on a Super,
yeah.
But
yeah,
that I can remember. But either way, what I'm getting at is this is a studio that really knows fighting games. And what they were showing is we're not going to do the X-ray moves, which, again, are badass. We're not going to do the finishing moves, again, that are badass. We're making a brand of our own with this Injustice game.
Yeah.
And we're making real good use of the environment. And so what Ed Boon was saying was that you'll have these really dynamic environments where you saw some of that with Mortal Kombat, where you knock somebody through a wall or knock them through the floor or whatever.
You knock them off and use the environment, yeah.
But they're much bigger environments. They showed, like, Superman knocking somebody into space.
Yeah.
As his, basically his finisher. It was like his coup de grace. I mean, he knocked this guy into space, took him back down, and then they killed him. Or not killed him, but took him out that way.
Yeah.
But you had different people with different abilities. So Superman obviously has super abilities, but you had Harley Quinn in there. Mm-hmm. Which was really nimble and really quick and doing all sorts of crazy things like planting bombs under people and things like that.
No, I didn't see her, but did they make her, did they design her to be Arkham City's Harley Quinn?
Looks very much like Harley Quinn from Arkham City. I'd have to look at it again, but that's what immediately struck me. Is it the pigtails, the, you know, the blonde hair, you know.
Because she's hot as hell in the Arkham
City. Oh, I would. My baby would take over and beat Joker's baby out of that gut, okay? That's all I'm saying.
My sperm would drown Joker's baby.
It would murder him. It would impregnate Joker's baby.
Just to kill it, yeah.
It would tear out of its stomach like an alien, okay? Like Aliens 1, where you see that shit bursting out of the gut. Inside of her, this is all going on.
Okay,
I'll get her some cocoa butter. She'll rub some cocoa butter on that shit. No stretch marks. take her right back down to Pound Town as soon as she has that
make
thing.
Her get a C-section.
So no, no, I don't want a C-section no, scar on that. That way. No, I'll have it sewn back up twice as tight. She'll be 13 again.
God.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Speaking of being 13 again, just so everybody knows, because I didn't bring it up, Ray Bradbury finally died.
Oh, jeebus.
Yeah, the writer. Yeah, he finally died. So sad.
That is sad. And also Family Feud guy. Yeah. How many fights has he started? Like, really? How many? Like, out in the parking lot? Oh, you should know one, Ma. I'm sure old man Smithers was fist fighting old Carruthers out there in the parking lot daily. It happened all the time.
Okay.
So Injustice comes out. That's crazy. It comes out sometime next year.
Thank you for ruining Ray Bradbury's moral.
Hey, he's not the only one.
Yeah.
He was
the important
Trollololo guy. I'm sure we got some YouTube people out there. The Trollololo Russian guy died finally.
Oh, yeah.
About 170 years old by now.
So, either way, I don't even know how to transition this. Trent, what do you got?
I got stuff. Okay, so, quick thing really quick before I jump into the other one, because they're kind of, you know, similar. I was looking around, and I had read that Dark Souls PC... they're running into some major issues with up-resing the graphics, so they're not going to do it. They're going to do the game, but they're not going to up-res the graphics, because they're running into major problems.
Not cool.
They bit off a little more than they can chew, so they were just like, fuck it, we're just going to stick with what we got. The game looks good, but I'm just, you know, that's at 720, for because they're all Xboxes at 720, but at 1080, I would have really liked to have seen this, but unfortunately, yeah, they could put out some texture packs, maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens. By the way, that was
release it on Steam. Let the community do what it wants.
Yeah,
somebody will mod it.
Somebody will figure it out. It's just that we're having some issues with the game. I think cohesion, it was falling apart with just things were just not texturing right.
Well, think about that area down. I don't remember what it's called, but when you go into that really dark area,
which one?
Oh, there's
the giants, the tomb of the giants, where it's complete pitch black. You got using human skull as a lantern.
Not that one, but when you go down into the area where you have the bugs.
I just got afraid thinking of the fucking tomb of the giants. I fucking hate that place.
Dude, that's a scary game. Have you been
in the tomb of the giants?
Oh, I played it. Yeah,
where it's all dark and you just see the eyes and they just come walking a gigantic fucking skeleton. You're like, ah, fuck, I'm going to fall off the edge. I got to kill it. I just run.
You brought up Dark Souls again. I don't have to play that.
It's one of those fucking games.
It's one of those games. Let's transition to the other one. The one that's even more important, that's so similar. Not that one.
That's my favorite.
Elder Scrolls. Ooh. Online. Motherfucker.
We saw some of the game footage of this, and...
Well, they did a walkthrough where it was the free cam was floating through the levels, rendered live as it was going, and...
It looks pretty good.
It just looks like a little bit of a downscale of Skyrim, but, I mean, when you look at the size of this place, what they're going to have is, like, they're going to have... a little bit of Skyrim, they're going to have a little bit of fucking, Cyrodiil, Tamriel, all this stuff rolled into it. They're going to have the Red Guards, they're going to have Elsevier. They have all these places available for you to just go off and explore.
Well, they're incorporating Morrowind into it.
Yeah, and Morrowind. And I'm just like, holy shit, which means Vivec is going to be there. They even mentioned it as one of the cities in the Game Informer when you read it. And I'm just, that was one of my big things, is I want to see Vivec, higher res.
I want to see Vivec, I want to see Sothisil, and I want to see... Amalixia.
Yeah. And also Elsevier, which the Khajiit. Because that's what Will was talking a lot about. Yeah. I will agree with him on that. That would be really cool, because these are places we had never seen before, so seeing that would be really awesome. But it's one of those things where doing all this, they were talking about the gameplay, and there's going to be 200 people available within the world instance, which I'm kind of like, only 200 people.
Well, it could have to do with just PCs and how much you can process at a time.
Yeah.
And seeing the level of the graphics on it being a lot higher res than most games aside from Rift.
Than what we thought it would be, yeah.
Yeah, we were thinking more on the scale of like Star Wars Loyal Republic, which isn't a bad looking game, but it's not. It still has that MMO cartoony style to it, you know.
And this does look really good, and it's kind of an in between of Oblivion and Skyrim. And so 200, I'm like, okay, well, hopefully I'm not on a server with 200 assholes.
Well, we can jump on the same server.
Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Yeah.
Like stuff like that. You get a lot of people going there.
That 100, was I think.
Yeah. See, that's on much crappier system with much crappier graphics.
Much older.
Yeah.
Well, that was PC. Older tech. That was PC and PlayStation 3.
PlayStation 2.
That's right, PlayStation 3.
Yeah, PS2 2. And on Xbox 360.
Yeah, they had
it. It was one of the first 360 games, because I had that, and I was playing, going between Oblivion and that often.
Oh, I didn't realize it was on 360.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I have that on.
That's my first experience with that large scale.
and I still have it on PC. I keep meaning to get back into that. But either way, 200 people are allowed on at a time. It is going to be completely open world, which means that the second you start playing, you do not have to follow the quest. Just like any Elder Scrolls game, you can just go off and explore, and that's what they want to do, is they want you to take the main story at your own pace and actually just go off, have fun, discover things, find all the little secret areas, look around, travel, meet people, do shit. And I'm really eager to see that in an MMO platform, to see Elder Scrolls actually brought in. As we talked about a few weeks ago when we when this was actually brought up, the original game, we talked about how he just totally made me lose my train of thought. Anyway, we talked about how the game takes place 1,000 years before Skyrim. It's in a point where there are no dragons around, because a lot of people were asking questions about that. If you would have read...
That's most people's experience of the Elder Scrolls, honestly, is Skyrim, because Skyrim sold so many copies.
Yeah, I just wish people would have actually paid attention when they released the article about Elder Scrolls Online, when it finally was officially announced and they finally showed all the stuff for it. When it came to, like, Game Informer had a huge article that even specifically said, no dragons. No fucking dragons.
What is the time period for it? Because you gotta remember,
there are no dragons.
It's 1,000 years after Skyrim.
No, before.
Before Skyrim. So, okay. Okay, Skyrim's 200 after Oblivion.
Yeah.
How far was Oblivion past Morrowind?
Oblivion was only like, 300-400 years?
Yeah, it wasn't much.
It was not much. And so this goes way back. And this
before
is the
Dragon
time,
Mount and
yeah, this is the time before any dragons were around.
So this would be 300 years before Morrowind.
Exactly.
Yes. So you're going to go way back. So Vivek is going to look very much, they're very different, but it's probably going
to
look...
It kind of had an ancient art style to it, which I was pretty okay with.
Yeah.
One thing I loved about Morrowind was the Siltstriders. They used to travel around.
Yeah,
and I missed them. I wanted to see them high res, what they look like, you know, in high res. And they kind of got rid of that system. And brought in the fast travel where you just go on your map. And I would like to see at least
that
a...
Give me a Silt Strider.
Well, no, I don't even want to ride it. Just let me see it. I would like to see what it looks like if they look like fucking ticks.
What
like
do you think? They were giant ticks. But what about levitation?
I want levitation.
Nothing better than going and pissing off the entire town of Balmora and then flying over, just hovering over, skinking trees shade and paying off my bounty. Was it him or was it a...
Well, here's the big question that I have is that one of the things with the Elder Scrolls series is that you can pretty much do what you want, take what you want, kill who you want. The only people that respawn are pretty much guards. So how is that going to translate over into Elder Scrolls Online? Are you going to be able to actually attack innkeepers? Are you going to be able to attack tailors? Are you going to be able to attack city guards? Can you actually murder someone who is an NPC and they do not come back? Or did they get rid of that because it fucks up the game for everybody else? I mean, how are they going to pull that off?
Well, my first murder and my first house, Draenei Thalas, she had a rat in her house. I killed the rat and her, and I set up my place. Dude, I've had more hours in Morrowind than I do in my own real life, okay? I had skull candle going up to my door. And you go inside, my orcish armor rack, got my Daedric armor. You know, I had my different sections, okay? Row of helmets, every armor class, except for garbage.
Real estate's not going to be available.
So you can't take over someone's house and live in it?
You might be able to do that. I doubt that. No. They're getting rid of no real estate because it would just be this ever-growing expansion because it's 200 people allowed on at a time, not 200 people just to that server. So it's one of those things where you could have 1,000 people that have access to that server, but only 200 at a time. So having houses for 1,000 people would have to take up, I mean, a considerable amount of landscape space that they're not going to program in, you know, and it's they're just going to get rid of it. So it's going to be kind of like World of Warcraft, you just crash where you are.
Yeah.
Just fucking sit on the ground, log out. So
like Minecraft, build your old Adobe hut and get it raided in your sleep.
Yeah, pretty much. So get it griefed while you're you're just laying there in bed and all of a sudden bricks start disappearing. What the fuck?
Well, you get out of bed. Go build something, you asshole.
You get out of bed and somebody throws lava into your fucking house. So.
Oops, burn.
Yeah. That's why you do not build a hole to live in. You can't get out. But either way, that's pretty much what they have lined up for. It looks beautiful, though. It really does look awesome.
I'm pretty excited. I mean, it just seeing the different runes and things like that and just the way the art style looked, it looked like a mesh between Skyrim and Morrowind was something more old school. And old school not in the way that the graphics look, but in the way that the design
style.
Of the game, it has an ancient feel to it.
Yeah.
Like Stonehenge or
something
like that.
Like when they were
in
the ruins, they had the familiar doors with the glowing tree on them that you would see throughout a lot of the ruins. But then they also had the turning, you know, cogs and shit, and so it's just very familiar. You go through, if you watch this video, you're like, oh, that looks a lot like this looks a lot like that. that looks like, you know, fucking Tamriel that looks, yeah, sorry, Morrowind. It's just going to be really amazing to get in there and see this game. And they haven't said too much about character customization. They did show two characters standing next to each other during a quick still shot. They showed people just standing there, two of them. And it looked good. So as long as you can customize your character, I kind of like how Skyrim allows you to. I would be really happy to see that, where you can kind of mix and match your armor about and just make the best of it. So, as well as, I know that you can't do guilds. Like, you can't be the head of a guild, but they do have factions that you can join.
Well, it's still a ways out. I didn't see a release date for this yet, so there's a lot of TBA stuff here.
Yeah.
One thing I was going to move into is there's a new game engine out there when we're talking about graphics and things that. And I showed you this earlier yesterday. Square revealed an engine, or Square Enix revealed an engine called the new, well, it's Luminous, but it's the new version of Luminous. And if anybody remembers the, like, pre-rendered cutscenes from any of the Final Fantasy games recently, so 13-2, 13, any of those things, the game engine looks like those cutscenes. It is amazing.
It is, actually.
That little movie is kind of ridiculous, but one of the best-looking game engines to date, and it's one of those things that I see as revolutionary. I mean, there's some titles we're going to talk about after the break here soon that have some graphics that come close to that, but don't quite come to that caliber. And it was one of those things where individual facial expressions, individual hairs in their face, it looks like a cutscene. So anything from a Square cutscene that you can remember recently, this is real-time rendered animation game engine graphics. And that's something that hasn't been done yet, to where we can play what's in our cutscenes. And we've thought it was a lot farther off at this point than it is. And with recent advances in graphic card technology and processor speeds and things like that, they're able to do this right now on a hardcore machine. So imagine that as being the next gen of stuff that maybe comes out on PC first.
Yeah.
And then moves its way over to the consoles. Excuse me. It's a really over-the-top looking engine.
Yeah, and I'm actually pulling it up for Vic.
Yeah, we can show it to him on the break or something. Yeah. But, yeah, I've never seen a game engine that looked this good. I mean, if you remember that tech demo for the Unreal 4 stuff.
Yeah.
With the new Unreal Engine. It looks better than that, and it was hard to imagine something that looked better than that. So if you get a chance, I'll link it. I know Kotaku has a good link for it. I know there's stuff on the YouTubes. But we need to have people take a look at this, because it's something that I've never, ever seen before in terms of quality. So with that in mind, there's I think it's probably a good time for a break. We've been going at this a little while.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to go ahead and break real quick, and then we'll be back in a minute. And talk some more about E3, and then bring up maybe a little bit of extra stuff. So stay tuned in.
Yep.
See you guys in a minute.
And we are back from our break, where we had some fun and shared many stories. So, let's see here. Let's go ahead and jump back into our nice coverage of E3 games. I'm going to go ahead and let Vic jump in with a title that he is wanting to steal from me. So,
Do you want to go ahead and talk about this right now?
Yeah, let's go and get it out of the way.
All right, let's get it going.
Yeah.
So, what were you going to bring up, Vic?
Basically, my
tell,
favorite
tell
thing...
Your story. Tell your story first.
Okay. My favorite thing is going to be Watch Dogs. Okay. Game Watch Dogs, which basically starts out guy walking down the street. Basically, everything's controlled by private corporations and software running everything.
Yeah.
It's like Facebook to the extreme. Not like, oh, I just took a dump here, put it on Facebook. I just cooked this. Here's a picture of it on Facebook. Even on top of that, this is what I searched for on Google today. This is what I ate for breakfast, lunch, dinner. This is what commercials I didn't change the channel off of. It's that crazy. But it reminded me of when he walks into a group of people and it shows... Hack, 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 does all this random stuff. Gives you options of everyone around you. Everybody's got a phone on them. You can hack into all that. Reminds me of probably 5 years ago. 5 years ago, I was sitting in the middle of the mall court, food court at the mall, and I opened up my Bluetooth, and I saw 100 different addresses. And I just started clicking on them. And this is before you had to like match the passcode to what pops up on their phone.
Yeah.
Just get in, start searching through the pictures. Start searching through stuff.
Yeah.
All day long, every day.
Jump on their internet.
There's a lot of people in the mall. a lot of people's pictures I went through.
You just, learned a lot of things that you wish you wouldn't have.
You know, a lot of things I was happy I did.
Yeah.
But all I'm saying, like, this is an extreme to that. He obviously can hack into anything in the world.
Well, the guy's got this one little, what looks like an Apple almost, phone
it looks
on
like
him.
It looks like an iPhone.
And what's cool is when he brings it out and you want to hack something, it shows these lines that correspond that they show, they connect to everybody. They connect to everybody. It shows you all these lines that you can connect to, so you can connect to this person's phone can connect to that one, and you can just basically highlight somebody and hack their shit. And I would be surprised if in the gameplay they allow you to hack random people's shit and read emails like they do, like in, say, Deus Ex when you access computers, you know?
Yeah.
And so just so you can find out extra little stories about things. Maybe you find somebody who works for a corporation that you're going after or something like that, and you can actually access those emails and read internal messages between heads of the business. But graphically, this game...
Looks pretty good.
Fucking amazing. Like when he walks outside after he fucking combats that fucking guard with a fucking glass breaker, drops the motherfucker. Really awesome. And he goes outside and you see the rain. And you can see the rain on the street. And it's you see it kind of fluttering down the street. And then you see it on his leather jacket. And you start to see the glistening. And he's got the elevated train above him and everything. And it's just, it looks beautiful. And he stands by the stoplight because he's waiting for his target to come up. He hacks the stoplight, turns them all green. causes mayhem, and even the wreckage of the cars looks awesome. You're just like, wow, dude, that looks like a real wreck. Then the gas station explodes. That was fucking awesome. And the car next to the gas station's fucking, you know, hood flies open and shit. You're like, wow, that is really cool. He's sitting there ripping people out of cars, you know, trying to save them, get on the ground, hide. And he just goes into combat mode shooting people. It slows down.
I like how his combat mode was he just pulled up a bandana over his face.
Yeah, he pulled a little bandana up and had the gun off to the side, hiding it slightly. And whenever he would fire, it had that kind of slow down effect with the really heavy thump when the fucking gun would fire off.
Well, it's his version of bullet time, is what it was like. They're activating bullet time.
Yeah. And it was, I think it's maybe if you get a headshot, it'll slow down so you can enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, it was good. And I saw it, he went from his semi auto, like silenced pistol, to an AR.
Yeah. And he ran up on that car, rode over the hood, and actually landed by the guy and shot the dude in the face, and then just seamlessly picked up the gun, threw his off. So I put his on the side and continued, and I was just like, that's fucking awesome.
It's like Grand Theft Auto utilizing cover.
Yeah, as well as really badass graphics. Yeah. So,
and the game's it's one of the most anticipated games right now by the numbers, and I can see why.
Oh, yeah. It looks beautiful, and it's Bungie doing it, and you gotta love...
Oh, was it Bungie?
Yeah, it is Bungie.
I thought it was... I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. It's Ubi.
Ubi.
Similar names. But anyways, it's Ubi that's doing it, which explains a bit. When it comes to the graphics, I always make really, really pretty looking games. And this one looks by far the prettiest one.
I always like doing stuff that seems more near future and a little bit more believable than they do, like, really far off into the distant future.
It's like a mixture. It's like they have these future
just like the Animus in Assassin's Creed or, you know, the way that Splinter Cell is with some of the high-tech gadgets, but not necessarily way too far off in the future, you know?
Yeah. And this looks... very cool and definitely interesting enough to check out if you haven't seen it. There's a 9-minute long gameplay trailer that's on YouTube right now from the E3 show.
And so I'll make note of that and then I'll link it.
Definitely worth checking out. And let's see, no release on that one quite yet. I'm going to jump into some Gears of War.
Yeah, I didn't get it. Now, Gears of War is out of this whole cast. Mm. Before Victor came on, I was the biggest hater of Gears of War, and then I turned into a huge fan.
Yeah.
And I hated Gears of War for a long time, and then eventually 2 came around, 2 was pretty decent, and then 3 came out and had the best horde mode I'd ever played in my entire life.
I think I'll let you borrow, I sat here just play Gears of War, and you played it, and you agreed it was like, this kind of sucks, and 2 came out, and you picked it up, and you
started. I mean, on 1, I was ranked. I was up there, like, 4 digits.
Yeah.
Like, killing every day at the apartment, that's all we did, was just murder on Gears.
I just
Gears 3 was just one of the apex games of last year.
Yeah.
And for third-person shooters, it is still, in my opinion, king. There's nothing that touches it.
Well, wait until this one comes out before you finish that statement. This one's actually going to be a prequel to the whole series. It's going to follow Baird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to follow him and his previous squad who are being brought up for treason.
Let me start. Stop you real quick.
Yeah.
I thought everybody hated Baird, with the exception of Victor.
He's my favorite, okay? Rocking some goggles and a bleach chair, I'm all about it all day long.
Nice. But it's going to follow him. It's going to be about that entire thing. And they don't really tell you too much in the preview other than he's basically during a court martial. His entire squad is there with him. Some new faces, and they're being charged with treason, stealing high technology, stuff like that. He basically, the guy who's got them on trial, is talking about how their actions have pretty much are going to cost the lives of thousands of people. So obviously something happened that fucked everything up and allowed for an invasion of some kind.
Well, the locusts.
Yeah.
It pretty much explains, you know, Marcus's father
did
that. So I don't. It didn't ever allude to Baird having any part of that. I think it's not unrelated, but it might have been a security breach.
Yeah, it might have been something, but there's some kind of technology involved that was stolen. But either way, it's going to be interesting to see what they do with it. They are bringing in a Locust versus Cog, so you'll be able to multiplayer fight it out. Graphically, it looks just about like Gears of War 3, which was a really good-looking game. So we'll have to see what else comes down the pipeline on it.
Yeah, they more gave us a sneak peek at E3 than anything else. I saw snippets of it. I looked for gameplay footage, and I found 45-second demo videos, and that's all I could find. So not a lot on that yet.
Yeah, they kind of kept it where it is. But for being, you know, the a resurrection talk, because, I mean, 3 was supposed to be the last one, and then they decided, and I said, I doubt it. I doubt it.
Cliffy B was probably like, dude, I'm swimming in my cash and my fucking garage full of Ferraris. I think that's probably good for me to maybe make another one.
I was doing tug of war with a couple of Lambos, and one lost a bumper. I need a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, but they said that Gears 3 was going to be the last one. It kind of was, since it's probably the last one in that game series, that story. Since they're going into a prequel mode, if they do another one after this, who knows, they could go even further back, or they could go further into the future beyond Part 3 as to what happens. But
I'd just like to see Epic take a different direction with games and try something new.
Mm.
I like Gears, don't get me wrong, but that's pretty much been their staple for a long time now.
Well, aren't they...
I mean, they're the ones, they've been living off that Unreal Engine forever.
Yeah, but aren't they the ones who are tapping into Fortnite?
I didn't hear anything about that, and it kind of makes me wonder if they scrapped that.
Yeah, because that was actually Epic Games who was working on. That was that zombie strategy one, defense one, where you kind of have to scavenge and build up your little hut.
Yeah.
and board up the windows.
I kind of wondered if it was one of those things where they saw the reaction to that and was like, well, there's like 5 people that are really interested
in it. My reaction was pretty good. I was kind of like, this looks interesting. I don't mind checking it out. So it looks funny.
I wasn't as far into like a day one release like... hype that it was for like Diablo or something.
That was,
you know?
Naughty Dog, I think, actually, that was working on that. But either way, I thought Epic was tied too. So
I'm
like, if
I remember, but no, I'm pretty sure Epic was.
It was really uncharacteristic for.
I'm just saying that I don't know if maybe it got scrapped or they decided to try something different with it.
Maybe.
But speaking of Ubi, since we were talking about that a minute ago, you distracted me. Ubi is releasing the new Splinter Cell game.
Yes,
and
Blacklist.
Did you see anything on this, Vic?
I have not really.
So what it showcased was his badass assassination skills on the trailer. Hmm. And what it was is it showed Sam Fisher going into somewhere in the Middle East, it looked like, or maybe it was in like Eastern Europe?
It's the Iran-Iraq area that I read the whole thing about it. It's him on front lines.
It takes you into that era, and it showed him in a tent. It shows him cut open the tent, go inside a tent, assassinate somebody with a knife, and then it goes into this mode where he marks his targets, and then he neos his way out into this crowd of targets, silence killing these guys, like in slow motion.
They're like 5 feet away from each other with their backs turned. Just
shooting these dudes in the head, and then he moves up to a guy, snaps his neck, and then like jumps over to another guy and then shoots him in the face.
Yeah.
And does it all within a matter of seconds. So it's like you set up your kill streak, basically, and then go for it.
Yeah.
And it had some kind of cooldown timer on that, so you could only do that so often. But it looked pretty amazing. Then it showcased some of the Assassin's Creed team skills with him climbing different structures and doing the classic over here move, you know, where he'd say something and he'd distract somebody to come over, and they came over to the side and he pulled him over the side of the building, then climbed up and used that guy as a distraction to then shoot some kind of electric spark into a pool of water and electrocute the guy that came up that noticed the guy that had fallen.
Now, did you actually watch the full trailer?
Yeah.
Because they showed another gadget, which is the ball spider, the spider ball.
I didn't see the spider ball.
You didn't see that one? That was actually like the long, 6-minute-long trailer they put out where he's actually going in to rescue a agent who's been taken captive. And he's on the roof, and it's cool because he drops his spider ball down, and as soon as it hits the ground, his legs come open, and it starts crawling. And eventually what happens is he ziplines upside down to the window where this dude's just standing, comes down, grabs the dude, pulls his grenade pins and throws them out the window, where he then falls down a few stories, and before he hits the cab next to a bunch of other terrorists, the whole fucking thing blows up, and upside down he just starts shooting everybody in the fucking room. And the captive guy stands up and like chair bashes the dude next to him, and he's wrestling with him while Sam's taking care of the rest of the people. It was actually a pretty bad trailer. Then they shoot their way out of the goddamn place.
Like,
yeah, it's pretty fun.
It pulled off that whole stealth kill thing that he always did so, or they always did so well in that game.
Yeah.
And it just looks even more refined than it was before. And I'm okay with the slow-mo stuff. Obviously, we've been playing a lot of Max Payne, which is slow-motion dive after slow-motion dive. Yeah. But this really takes it to a different level with Sam Fisher, just showing how much of a badass secret agent he is.
Yeah. My only problem is that when I was watching the preview, they were referring to him as Sam, calling him Sam, and they even say Sam Fisher. It's not. It doesn't sound like the actor who does Sam's voice, that very raspy Michael Ironside's, you know, voice. It does not sound like him. The guy sounds younger. He looks younger. I don't know if this is supposed to be a prequel, if this is supposed to be a continuation of the story, or what's going on. But he even looks younger than Sam Fisher did in, say, Conviction, you know, which I loved. It's a great game. Short game, but it's still fun.
So the new game's called Blacklist, and that comes out next year.
Yeah. Plus, I think it might be a prequel, because they're in the preview I was watching with the Spider-Bot, they're sitting there talking about Third Echelon. And they're talking about the existence of unnamed agencies that, you know, do this type of stuff. And you can hear somebody talking about how they don't exist. They never existed. They will never exist. And it seems like it could possibly be a prequel to the series showing the birth of Third Echelon. So
real quick, while we're talking about Ubi, I wanted to bring up Assassin's Creed 3, because obviously that's going to be a huge release.
Yeah.
The stuff that I saw was him moving through battlegrounds. And killing people, of course, with this tomahawk. And there was a couple of more unarmed moves that I hadn't really seen in Assassin's Creed, where he was on a corner of, like, a building in Boston. And he kind of got a guard's attention, hit around the corner, and as the guard came up, he went ahead and snapped his neck.
Nice.
And so one of the things that I was interested in is it showed a lot of the footage of him going through battlefields to pick out targets during battles. They also showed some sea battle stuff. So you saw a naval battle where you're in command of a ship, and you see on the broadside of it the area where you can shoot with cannon fire, and then you choose a type of projectile you're going to use.
Some of those little mini games back in.
But with cannon fire, with a battle, with, you know, like an old school battleship, basically.
Yeah, that's kind
of
cool.
So doing that, and then of course, moving forward into like a town environment with what you're used to with Assassin's Creed, going into modern or 1700s Boston, which amazing kind of there still. And with it being three, and with it being the original dev team, I kind of have high hopes for this, because I really want to see a good Assassin's Creed game after the last one.
Yeah, also kind of a pickup on the story, kind of explaining, number one, who's this new character that's supposed to be going into the Animus to tap into this ancestor, and who are they, who's putting them in there? Is it, you know, Abstergo, or is it the actual faction that's helping the Assassins? So it's going to be interesting to see the fine details kind of come out.
One other thing I was going to bring up that also, I'm pretty sure it's Ubi, Far Cry. That was Ubi, wasn't it?
Far Cry
3.
I do believe so, yeah.
Far Cry 3 is fucking intense.
This was like a year ago when we first saw stuff for this, and they showcased that quick little preview that they the censor had a problem bleeping out the correct words, because it was like he was trying to bleep it out.
Yeah, they were doing that at the Video Game Awards.
Yeah, and he just kept fucking it up.
Well, he kept fucking up the fucks.
Yeah, because he was following the script, and he'd be waiting, and you just hear, beep, fuck. And you're like, oh, damn. You know, and from there, it just went downhill. So I wonder how much they had to pay for that. But, yeah, that game just looks fucking beautiful and very amazing, and just very intense.
Well, so the things that I picked up that were things that we didn't know back then is there's going to be a co-op mode.
Nice.
And that's something they haven't had in a Far Cry game yet. The difference is with this is with the original Far Cry experience, you can play with the stealth gameplay, or you can go kind of balls to the wall. It's open-ended. And it's supposed to kind of give you that feeling of kind of being alone in a foreign area.
This is a very wide open world.
Yes.
Nice.
But the co-op mode is a different game. And so what they're doing with that is they're doing that as four separate survivors. So up to four-player co-op in a different part of the story. So they built a separate game for the co-op so that it wouldn't detract from the feel of the original game.
I imagine
single player.
That you probably run across those people in the single player just as NPCs.
Yeah,
at
possibly.
Some point. Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting to kind of see what they're doing with that. I'm really, really excited about Far Cry 3.
Far Cry 2 is probably one of you and I's most favorite games. I mean, I own it on PC and Xbox. You own it on PC and Xbox. We played the shit out of it.
Well, I bought it originally before I had it on Steam,
yeah.
and then couldn't find my disc, so I bought it on Steam again.
Yeah. And it is a beautiful game, and it had a level builder in it even, which was just profound, you know, for something to look that good. And, yeah, just an amazing game. Very, very cool.
So, moving along a little bit, there's a couple of other things I really wanted to talk about. Something that's near and dear to at least mine and your hearts, and I'm not sure about Vic yet, but Borderlands.
Yeah, Borderlands 2. Yeah.
Yes.
Even more games than...
I miss playing. I mean, there's so many great fucking games that have come out since Borderlands, but I mean, and I put a lot of time into it, but I do miss those nights that it was like you, me, Justin, just, yeah, sorry, you, me, and Scott, sorry, hamming it up in Borderlands, waiting for him to go through
Diablo
fucking
with guns.
Inventory.
I mean, that's so, basically what it boils down to, except without the random level generator.
Yeah. And claptraps.
Yeah, claptraps.
Yeah, I love a good claptrap. Yeah. Look at me, I'm dancing.
Well, even the name.
I mean, yeah.
The claptrap.
Don't put your dick in that robot, okay? Yeah. That is not a sex bot.
But what they've said so far is it's going to be a whole lot larger. And the big things, again, just pulling out the highlights of things that we didn't know before. The split-screen co-op can now go online with your buddies.
Awesome.
They had a technical difficulty with that before, and that's why they didn't implement it. But now if you're split-screen co-oping, you can go online with your friends.
So you can still have a four-man team even if you only have, like, three consoles.
Right. So if you got a friend of yours that doesn't have the game, so, like, say I get it and you don't have it, you can jump on and we'll go online together with our buddies.
Nice.
So, huge thing. A huge deal with Borderlands 2.
That was still slated for later this
September 18th.
Just in a few months, yeah. Just here in a little bit.
So, definitely what I'm picking up day one is going to be Borderlands 2. And obviously we have a lot of excitement. There's not a whole lot new out there. You can go online and find out all the classes, and I'm not going to go deep into that because... Hey, it's fucking Borderlands, and it's more Borderlands.
So 4 months, people, and I'm going to have to pre-order that probably here in the next couple weeks just to make sure I get it.
Yeah,
so.
There's not a lot of things that I pre-order, but that's definitely
I can see a lot of people grabbing that on release night because Borderlands was such a popular game. I mean, the attitude, the humor, the art style, just people who didn't pick it up when it first came out heard about it and got into it, and most gamers you run into, you bring up Borderlands, and they're just like, So
what I'm kind of doing here is I'm kind of leaving some of my larger titles for last.
Yeah.
One thing that I wanted to bring up was Defiance.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw anything about this, Trent, but Defiance is an MMO that's partnering with Sci-Fi Channel to have a television show that integrates with the MMO. And so the events that take place in the MMO...
Will be reflected
in the television. So if there's huge events or huge moments where, like, certain enemy forces. Basically what it is, it's a massive multiplayer online third-person sci-fi shooter.
Yeah.
Without MMO gameplay mechanics. So it's not clicking on things. It shoots like a Gears of War shooter. Mm. But it's an MMO on your PC with huge-ass boss battles with friends.
But it's tied in with another form of media, which is television.
Which is the first time you've ever seen anything like that happen.
You see something like World of Warcraft where... If the Horde kills enough people around a certain area, they can actually gain control of that area. It's no longer contested. It's theirs. But that's something that happened in-game. Now, you take a look at something like this, where I found the TV show, the antagonist faction pushes forward and takes over, say, this area of the map.
They can call that an event and put it in the game.
And now that's hostile territory to your faction. Now you go in there and... Whatever happens to you is your own fucking fault.
So, to me, it's a different level of immersion that we've never really had before.
Yeah, now you just need to get geeks to take time out of playing the game to watch the show.
Yeah. So, playing in the background while you're playing games. Yeah. You're like,
Well, here's something else that has never happened on 360. Mm. It's going to be on 360, and it's an MMO, as well as PS3 and as well as PC.
See, that's one thing that always irritates me, is to see something like DC Universe come out for PlayStation, but never came out for Xbox. And you're like, why? It could have.
Well, it wasn't that great of a game, to be honest.
I know, but it's that breach into MMO world that they could... I mean, Minecraft kind of has the MMO kind of thing, but it's not really a pointed game. There's no point to it. You're just building, so there's no story, there's no quest line, there's no nothing. Something like this actually has a story behind it, has an appeal to a much larger audience than Minecraft would.
So, I'm honestly pretty excited about it. It comes out April of next year.
It reminds me of Dust.
Yeah.
Yeah, where it's... Have you heard of that? Yeah, where it's EVE Online tied in with that. That, I mean, I'm almost tempted to go out and get another PlayStation 3 again just to play that. Because I like EVE Online, and I like the fact that they're honing this in as a side thing where you get to see that what goes on behind the scenes with Planet Drops and stuff.
So I'm going to bring up a few smaller titles before I really jump into the really big titles.
Yep.
And not that we haven't brought up big titles already, but just stuff that I think is going to be really huge. Lollipop Chainsaw, of course, comes out next week. Mm-hmm. I got some more insight as to what that actually is.
Did you pre-order yours?
I am a little behind on cash, so I'll probably pick it up on the Friday afterwards.
I'm skipping it.
It's Suda 51, and Suda 51 is people have brought Shadows of the Damned. Mm-hmm. And basically what they said is it's going to have the same humor style that Shadows of the Damned had, which, amazingly, that's probably some of the best humor writing that I've heard in a game. It's
gratuitous dick jokes and just grotesque. I mean, like, when you were first playing Shadows of the Damned, I saw this dog thing. I was like, is that a face on that thing's ass? And you didn't notice it, but the dog things had a white face for an anus. And I was just like, I kept walking in the room and I said, this is the thing nightmares are made of. And then he had nightmares.
From that game. Ordinary dirt stars, what you're trying to say.
No, he had porn stash nightmares. Money shots left and right.
So, but it's one of those games that it's Suda 51, and the thing about Suda 51 is they always make these games that are, they take a crazy idea and then just amp up the LSD and then you're good game. And I expected to be extremely entertaining just from the dialogue that I was hearing. And they also mentioned that this is a thing that's got a little bit over sex, which I think is kind of weird.
Yeah.
But the cheerleader starts the game on her 18th birthday so they can get away with it
with some things,
with some of the jokes.
Well, it's one of those things where I look at it and just like, this is what happens when you have a company whose policy is to have Tequila Fridays. You know, and everybody just drinks tequila and comes up with game ideas.
So, but it's just, it's way over the top. It's just a zombie kill game.
As soon as you mentioned she's 18, Vic was like, what's the name?
No, I was looking at this for months. Like, it pops up on every game site you go to. It's like, you see this chick with ponytails just trashing stuff.
Well, she was the one that got in trouble at PAX. The girl that they actually chose. They had a contest to figure out who's going to be Jessica What's-Her-Face for the game. And the girl that was originally the one in the skimpy outfit that got banned is the one that ended up taking home the title as being the face of the game. So, but she actually kind of looks like her, which is fucking weird, because she didn't have anything to do with the game before.
It's She Nukem is what it is. It's She Nukem. Duke Nukem She.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. And I'm fine with female.
Even Madness better, heroes, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
I'm scared now to do the whole game when you look at something. I don't want to...
Yeah, well, like Cynthia Rothrock from 90s films, you know, fucking kung fu chick with big tits. Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Well, it's funny because she carries around her boyfriend on her belt.
His head, yeah.
He carries her his head. And one of the moves that she has is she can cut off a zombie's head and then put his head on it.
Yeah.
And he becomes a partner that kind of helps her through the scenario.
Yeah.
Until that zombie dies and then she's got to grab his head again.
Yeah.
So, with it being Suda 51 and all the crazy ass moves and upgrades and power ups that you're going to have, I imagine this will be something completely unique and
I'm sure that whenever
weird
she cuts a zombie head off, he'll be like, give him a head, baby.
There's a whole like fight going on between her and her boyfriend the entire time. So there's a lot of like cutting dialogue between the two of them the entire time. So interesting enough that's there. We'll see what happens. Another one that we talked about last year that we haven't seen anything about until E3 is Hawken.
Yes.
Hawken being the mech game, the multiplayer mech game.
The badass one,
for PC. They're going to have three classes of mechs, the light, the medium, and the heavy.
Did they finally get all the shit ironed out and ready to go?
It's almost ready to go. They didn't say a particular release date. They said the open beta goes live 12/12 this year.
I'm going to sign up for that.
It's going to be a free-to-play PC game.
Nice.
So, which means, of course, you'll be probably buying some kind of form of upgrade or whatever, or maybe more mech slots, I don't know. But they didn't release the details of how it's going to be free-to-play. But they released the details of the modes, and it's very multiplayer-focused with King of the Hill, and then they got something called Siege Mode, which is more intense version of King of the Hill.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, I'll post the link to Hawken's beta sign-up, and you guys can click on that and hopefully sign up on the beta, because we will be, too.
Yeah. That's bringing up, like, memories of Unreal Tournament.
No. Yeah, but with mechs. Yeah, like Mech Warrior.
But if you haven't seen Hawken yet, check it out.
It's kind of like Mech Warrior.
I used to love Mech Warrior.
It was pretty badass. And,
you're in the cockpit of a mech.
Yeah.
And you're moving
It's basically
around
first person shooter, but
you
they skinned
you
it.
Got controls, all that.
Yeah, it's basically first person shooter, but they skinned it with the cockpit, and you've got your controls you're looking at. I think they even brought in the gauges where you have to keep an eye on stuff and fuel and all that. So it kind of brings up that OCD. Factor of playing mech games, so which you would be really good at. So,
nice.
So moving along, one of the ones that I think you've actually got more information on than I have, Trent, is Defiance.
I mean, or Dishonored.
Not Defiance, Dishonored. Yes.
Yeah. All these Dishonored games is Dishonored is the new Bethesda game that's coming out that I've been following for a while just because it's so so unique with the art style. I mean, it doesn't look like anything else. Yeah, it doesn't look like anything else that you see on the market right now. It has this very cel shade yet almost propagandish poster kind of look.
It's a little bit steampunk too.
Yeah, very steampunk. And the whole point of this is basically they haven't really gone too far into it, but it reminds me a little bit of BioShock with some of the artwork they're using for BioShock Infinite, some of the stuff they do in that. But you're basically in this police state city along the ocean, actually pretty much is in the ocean. But you have these great abilities where you can possess things. Like they actually have this darkness ability where you can take over rats and use them to swarm, which is kind of like Willard.
They have that teleporter ability too.
Yeah. Get them boys.
Yeah. But yeah, you can teleport. You can. I remember the preview I was looking at that I was sent the other before E3 started. They sent me this like long ass 9.5 minute long preview that I downloaded at work. I was just sitting there watching it, and it was beautiful because they had this little girl singing the "What Do You Do with a Drunken Sailor" song. You know, really soft and quiet. You know, just really creepily. And it's just him sneaking around. It shows you, like, eavesdropping, watching people, following people. And then they got the giant guys on stilts, these two, like, mech things, and it shows you blowing them up. And then it goes into about a three-minute-long montage of nothing but you slicing people's throats. And just blood. Just going up slow-mo just constantly for 3 minutes straight.
Throat stabs.
Yeah, just throat stabs. And it's very interesting the way that they kind of implement everything. The game is just fucking twisted, weird looking with this well hanging up in the ocean on top of a... Have you seen
that? Yeah, it's one of those things that they've been promoting. You can play this very stealthily.
Yeah.
Or you can play it really action-packed.
Yeah.
So, but they gave you extra options of open world exploration within the levels. So you can kind of do it however you want.
Yeah. And, it's definitely something that worth to go check out. And if you haven't seen anything, go onto YouTube and look up Dishonored. And
yeah, possessing rats doesn't sound cool until you see it in action.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And you have different other abilities. I mean, you have other abilities, which is why I bring up the BioShock thing. It's very reminiscent of BioShock with you. You have these abilities that you can junction into yourself and use. And it's one of those games where it's kind of hard to describe because I haven't put out a whole lot of information on it. So it's just something that's worth checking out. Check it out. Trust me, you'll find that it's pretty cool looking. So,
One of the other games I was going to bring up real briefly here, I'm not going to talk real long about it, but I just thought it was really good looking, and that was New Devil May Cry.
You said I haven't seen it yet.
Plays like Devil May Cry.
Yeah, it's called DMC, right? Just
something like that, but they got rid of his emo haircut.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just had parted hair.
Still Dante?
Yeah,
still
so Dante. Definitely Dante.
Young Dante, but...
Is it blonde or black
hair? No, black hair.
Oh, no, okay.
That was black. But they showed him with just parted hair. It was he got rid of the emo bangs, which I'm happy with.
Yeah,
I didn't want emo bangs on Dante, even if it's a fucking Japanese.
Yeah, get rid of the Miley Cyrus haircut. Yeah.
But it showed a lot of they're trying to get away from getting to the too crazy art style that a lot of the other ones had.
Yeah.
And just maybe kind of overarching into some of the semi gothic art styles they've had with keeping more of a modern feel.
Yeah.
But the gameplay mechanics is again sword based and gunplay based. Third person action game. So,
is it chain based where you got to build up your chains and stuff?
It looked like it was, but I couldn't see anything because they took off the HUD on the gameplay stuff.
Ah, okay.
So I couldn't really see
what
was going on.
Which answers your question in the break of why there's no health bars on some games. Because they removed that stuff. Yeah. So
for better,
they want people to see everything, and also they usually make it where you can't. So, yeah. Well, because that'd be embarrassing if the guy out there who helped design the game keeps getting his ass dropped every 2 seconds.
We've seen some ass beating of
we've
the
seen
game
some,
designers.
Yeah, but sometimes they wanted you just to see how hard it can be, so they do that. So,
One of the other games that I was going to bring up now that I'm getting into larger games for sure,
yeah,
Resident Evil 6.
Yeah, I was psyched about this game because I love Resident Evil 4. I devoured Resident Evil 5. You and I both played Resident Evil 5 quite a bit, even a year after it had been out. You and I went back through and got in there and were just going for, I think, special ranking, S ranking on every single fucking map. And we were just trying to get game completion. It's one of those things you just keep coming back to it.
That unlocked different outfits for Java.
And what was it? The show up and the gun upgrades. I think I had like the unlimited infinite ammo shotgun.
We were blinging by the end of that.
Yeah. We still are. I mean, I still need to hop back in there. I just keep putting it off. But we were doing everything.
If it was more than two player, I'd use it as a gauntlet title.
Oh yeah, it's a beautiful game. It looks great. And this new one, I love what they said during E3. They said when we were coming up with the story for it, we had three different stories going. As to where we could have gone with the gameplay, and we just decided to say fuck it and put all three of them into the game and just have it be three different games. So you get to actually choose which character. You got Christopher Redfield, you've got Leon Kennedy, two heavy hitters, and then you've also got the son of Wesker, whose name I can't remember at the moment. But you get to play him as well, and it's a different thing. They even show this different style with him, and that there's a lot of melee attacks. You can do things that other characters can't do, and they actually show him go between shooting to just straight up grabbing a guy, snapping his neck, punch him into the fucking ground, overkill, all that. You're using the environment constantly when that one thing was chasing that giant nemesis-looking fucker.
Yeah, they brought back a nemesis-type enemy.
Yeah, he's being hunted by it, actually, yeah.
The thing I was going to bring up while you're talking about this was the survivalist aspect. So a lot of people are bitching about Resident Evil going the way more of an action game and less a survival game. And they're trying to, at least with one of the story arcs, to bring it as more of a survivalist Resident Evil game, with one of those story arcs being more of an action-based game. So, to kind of give you different facets of Resident Evil, which appeals to everybody, I think, and it's not a bad idea.
And also for people who love to co-op on Resident Evil 5, they are going to have co-op on this. In fact, it's all three stories are going to have their own co-op character that they can bring with them. It can be an NPC when you're playing offline, or your friend can go ahead and take over that role. So you can basically co-op all three stories, and all three stories intersect and run into each other. So whenever you are playing that individual story, you are going to run into Redfield, you are going to run into Kennedy if you're playing the son of Wesker, and vice versa. So
I would just hope that each of the stories are around 8 hours long.
I would hope so, because I mean, Resident Evil 5 was a decent length game. Resident Evil 4 was a good length game. I would hate to see them bring it out, even if it's like 6 hours each. That's still an 18-hour game total just for the co-op. So, and then they always have multiplayer that they bring in with the mercenaries and stuff.
I always thought that the co-op stuff, though, was better than the multiplayer in those games.
The multiplayer can be fun. Like, with Resident Evil 5, they had the little mercenaries game where it's basically a free-for-all. You're just running around shooting each other and also holding out as long as you can, which is also pretty fun. It'd be interesting to see what they do with this. The survival horror aspect, I see where a lot of people bitch about that in the actual game, but that's why they brought in stuff like the survival mode, where you go in and you just have to hold out and keep killing things to get more time. And, I mean, I've seen people who have carried a match of that out for, like, well over 15 minutes, you know, just about. And it can be pretty fucking challenging at times. But definitely something to look forward to for Resident Evil 6, so...
So, only got a few titles left. One of the ones that I really want to bring up, and this is why I showed you guys this, is Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I showed you guys both this during the break, and the reason I did is because I wanted to show some of the frenetic gameplay that was involved with it.
Well, that's another one they brought up at the Video Game Awards last year, and we saw that quick little preview where she's trying to tunnel her way out as fast as she can.
Right, and then this year we saw a preview where Lara Croft has got a bow. Mm-hmm. And she's disabling motherfuckers as well.
She's setting fire to the arrows.
Shooting like lanterns in coal piles. Like.
On top of having a shotgun.
Yeah.
Well, she stole it.
Yeah, she stole the shotgun from one of the dudes.
You can steal weapons from people. So. Yeah.
But you can also use the environment to your advantage. So, like, it showed
cover
her
system as well.
There was cover. There was multiple effects going on with the cover when it was getting blown up. Mm-hmm. And then it showed her shoot like an area full of barrels. And when she did that, the barrels rolled downhill. Killed a couple guys, and then she jumped up over and started shooting from the ceiling down at these dudes.
Yeah, pretty cool.
It was really action-packed, and the things that got me, lighting on the water particles is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. Some of the dynamic camera movement gave it more of a gritty feel.
Yeah, when she's trying to cross that little waterfall area, and
yeah,
she's
getting to that.
She's lunging from fucking post to post.
Yeah.
It's very...
It looks like she's just barely frantic. Making it.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of try to bring out that human element a little bit, so she's not so much diehard as she is, like, you know, a college chick that's just kind of learned to survive and is tough as nails.
Mm-hmm.
And still a little more realistic than real life, but way more closer, a lot closer to real than what you get in a lot of games.
Yeah.
And so it shows this part where she goes from sliding down a fucking waterfall, down some rapids, and off the waterfall into a plane, and from the plane, parachuting out of the plane into a forest, and then having to dodge trees.
It's a down plane, just so people know. Yeah, she's not like just jumping in the midair.
It's not Saints Row.
No, it's a it's a down bomber plane in the middle of the jungle, and it's upside down. And when she finally comes to a stop inside of it, she's on the cockpit's upside down, and she's sitting on the glass and starts to crack. So she frantically grabs for an old parachute for God knows how old it is.
It's like the dead pilot's parachute himself.
Yeah. And it shows the parachute go out. And she uses the backup chute.
Yeah, which, she pulls the cord, which I think you have to hit a button really quick to pull the cord, and it snaps right off, so she uses the spare, and that actually works, but it takes her into a whole other world of shit. So.
But it's not just like a timing thing where, hey, here comes this part, hit X real quick,
you're actually navigating.
You're navigating. You're hitting left and right, you're going down this
like down waterfall. The river, yeah, down the
you've
river.
You've got to dodge sticks and logs, yeah. There's one point where she has to shoot something that's in the way.
Barricades, the dams, she has to go into a bullet time mode and actually shoot down this little wood dam, otherwise she's going to hit it and take damage,
maybe even die. Debris or whatever, but yeah.
Yeah.
But it even like had like a prop from a plane spinning
that
you're sitting there dodging, and so you're dodging and then using these little bits of QuickTime in between. But even when she was going down through the trees, it showed there wasn't any QuickTime involved. It was just dodge these trees because it showed her going through the branches and getting pretty fucked up.
Yeah. Well, they also
you're bleeding out your face.
Well, one thing you guys forgot is there's also a melee aspect where she went running up around the corner onto that guy and actually pulled out a knife and slammed it right through the bottom of his jaw.
Well, and you saw that
other action, and slit.
And then that other thing where she ran up behind a guy and just pushed him off the cliff.
Which
I was like, oh, well, that never really happens in games.
It's more realistic, though. I'm not going to waste 5 bullets shooting at him.
It's opportunistic. Yeah, it's totally it's an opportunity kill, approach. I mean, you kill one guy, it makes noise, and it looks like it unleashes a whole shitstorm for about 2 minutes of you just frantically running to get through, taking care of guys along the way.
Well, and the producers of it said it's survival action-adventure.
Yeah.
Which, true to its name, that's what it seems like, and it looks pretty badass.
Yeah.
Lastly, I'm going to bring up 2 more titles here. I think that's all I got. Yes. And again, we're just highlighting the stuff that we thought was really fucking interesting.
I do have one to ask, just in case, because I didn't get to watch all the E3 stuff. Did they mention anything about... did you see anything about a new Chronicles of Riddick game?
No.
Damn. Because the new movie is finished with being shot. They're doing the post-production and... it's Vin Diesel work. It's his company that works with that makes the video games.
Yeah, but his company, aside from that Riddick game,
that's all they do. But that's all they do is a Riddick game.
There was this driving game that No Quarters goes on and on about how horrible it is.
I'm sure it is. But the Riddick games are fucking awesome.
It's not punishing as shit.
Yeah, they are hard as shit. That's why I love them. Have you ever played them, Big?
No, I haven't.
You get dropped about every 2 minutes. You're just like motherfucker. Just like constantly, you're just getting dropped. And it really pisses you off, but they're actually good stories and they're good games, and they follow true to the lure, basically.
I'm gonna try it out if it's not.
Yeah, dude, I'll let you borrow my Assault on Dark Athena, because that comes with Escape from Butcher's Bay, which is the first game, and then it comes with the new one, so they're really good.
Yeah, I'm down.
So, yeah, it's got Ron Perlman in it, too. So,
Well, he's in everything.
Yeah, he's even your mom.
A few times.
Yeah.
There was actually one other game that I forgot to mention. I'm going to mention it real quick. XCOM.
Oh, yes.
So, going strategy, it's a base building game. Victor, you've got a little bit more on this. What did you see on XCOM?
Basically, your base, you're building side scroll on it. You can see the different levels. You got different little groups of stuff. Kind of like an old school Command and Conquer, but if you were in a compound. Like a vertical.
It's like a cutaway that you're looking at from the side view.
It's your ant farm.
Right. It's your ant farm, but you're building a high-tech anti-alien invasion base.
Oh, yeah.
And on top of that, you're torturing aliens to get information.
So it's like Guantanamo Bay.
You capture them. It says your scientists want dead aliens all the time. They want to get dirty. But if you can catch a live one, they will interrogate and torture it to death to get information. And it shows this happening.
The American way.
Oh, it's good. It's waterboarding at its finest.
How do you waterboard an alien?
Find out where its mouth hole is.
That could be sex to them. It's hit me with that. Yeah.
Oh, stick that jag on my thrasher.
Yeah, see that? Oh, the jag on.
Oh. I don't know what we're watching, but I'm sure it's wrong.
But moving on to this, on top of the world that you're building this base underground, but as you get up on top, it turns into real-time strategy, like Fallout Tactics, where you have a squad where you're defeating the aliens on a squad basis. So you've got this squad of troops that you're commanding in a real-time strategy game on top of the ground, on top of your base.
Yeah, kind of turn-based.
Is this PC?
Definitely turn-based. I mean, I haven't gotten the details. I'm sure it's going to be on PC.
It's turn-based. The alien, like the ones I saw, they're, what do they call them, hovers, jumpers?
Whatever, they were torsos with jetpacks.
Yeah, they're torsos. They're like cut off at the waist and they've got jetpacks so they can be mobile.
Oh, so
they
invented them. 90s style.
Yeah, they fly around and they'll actually get behind you, so you're actually fighting on two fronts now. And they look pretty vicious. They look, the graphics weren't even bad for that kind of a, old-school Final Fantasy looking stuff.
Well, yeah, it was, to me, it reminded me, like you said, it's kind of like an ant farm, but it's had a pretty... the graphics were on par with, like, StarCraft 2.
Nice.
Yeah. And I'm definitely getting it.
So, I'm pretty interested. Uh-huh. But moving on to larger titles, and I'm just going to bring my last two bombs out of the bag here.
Yeah.
Three. I got to quit forgetting this last one. Mm. South Park, Stick of Truth.
Yeah.
Epic. Looks awesome.
Looks
even,
just like...
Even A23 posted South Park, Stick of Truth video... So when you have a guy like that posting South Park, you just start laughing. But
well, it's going to be an RPG.
Yeah,
and you're going to create your own South Park character to become part of the group of boys.
Yeah,
and the thing is that Trey Parker and Matt Stone have direct involvement with this, with Obsidian,
which is good.
And so it's been in development a couple years already. But long story short, they were saying stuff like, "Well, you know." Never really thought about how to get from Cartman to Stan's house. We had to figure that out because we used to just cut before that.
Yeah.
So now we figured out where that is. We figured out where the school is in the whole environment. Mm. And it showed an epic battle scene at the end. Again, it looks exactly like the cartoon, except with depth of field. And that was the only thing that was different. They had depth of field.
Well, they do that sometimes when they're more cinematic episodes, when they're trying to do something like a parody of this. They do stuff like that.
But it showed an epic battle between them and a bunch of goth kids.
It was basically a reference to Lord of the Rings with the huge battle. And they had all the kids dressed up like fucking, you know, all the Lord of the Rings, you know, the elves and the fucking whatever. And all the goth kids were playing basically the orc army, but they were all goth.
Who was the one that had the little, like, the little crown of, like, crown of antlers?
I can't remember. Jesus. But one thing I did love
was
it probably was. But what I did love about it was that...
No, it's Kyle.
Is that because you're part of the game, you actually get to design your own character, a South Park character, and they show all these different configurations, you know, of how you can do. They have just funny ones, somebody with a little tiny crown, somebody with a cowboy hat. You can basically go all out, so accessorize. But it's funny because in the cinematics, they keep talking about the new kid. Because they're talking about who's the only one who can do this test. Hey, what about that new kid that just moved in? I bet he could do it. And so they're just constantly referring to the new guy. And it shows them all running for their lives. They're like, come on, new guy, keep up! You know, they keep running. And then Cartman, you know, Kyle and Stan are arguing. It's like, you know, the new kid has a power we can't understand. It's like, then how can we trust him? So they never say your name. They just reference you as the new
But
guy.
It sounded like they were using all the voices from
South Park. Oh, yeah, it was all the same. Yeah, it was all the voices, yeah.
So it's easily, so far, if Obsidian does this right, it's going to be the most epic South Park game to date.
Yeah.
Probably one of the most epic games to date.
Please bug test so...
There's no release date on it yet. If it came out later this year, I'd be alright, but it's probably going to come out next year, and I hope it does because I want to see a polish.
Yeah, I want to see something.
We've seen what they did with Fallout and everything. So, I mean,
yeah, we saw what they did with Fallout.
I mean, you've got that size of a map.
Well, no, it's not that level of a bitch.
Yeah.
My companion, you haven't heard this, sir. My companion disappeared for 20 hours of the game. They were technically still with me. I couldn't bring him on, but they disappeared. Fuck Obsidian at times.
Fuck the dog.
Yeah, but that was there. That was the dog. So, yeah.
Yep.
So I got two more quick titles, and then I'm going to close this out.
Yep.
Halo 4.
Oh, yeah.
Looks pretty damn good.
It looks good, but the story, I'm just like, what the fuck is going on?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want them to reveal too much about the story.
Yeah.
I want to know. I want to find that out as I go along.
So do I.
I know that you have a grudge match going on.
No, it's like I said that I would give it an honest, fair shake. It's just that so far, I'm seeing things, and I'm just like, what the fuck is that? You know, it's like...
They've had to release new characters. Yeah. I mean, we cannot use the Covenant anymore.
No. I'm not talking about new characters, no. I'm talking about what the fuck was that? It's okay.
Well, here's my cop-out.
Okay, go ahead.
Prometheans. That's what they're calling them.
Really? They're going to call
them... freaking steal some Mass Effect.
I'm
going to
go see that this week. No, I'm going to go see Prometheus this weekend, too. But anyways...
I'm thinking Protheans.
Yeah, you're thinking of Protheans.
But
Prometheans, well, that kind of fits with an alien name. That's why Prometheus has the name.
Right.
So I'm fine with that. It, you know, it's
well, they had
things.
those enemies they called the, they call them the Guardians, I think.
Yeah.
And what they had
had the Flood, they had the Covenant, they had...
No, I'm talking about the new ones.
Oh, okay.
And with the new ones, what they have is they basically spawn these other bugs.
Yeah,
so like
AI
you had
defense.
Right, and so like out of his shell on his back, basically another one came out flying above that was giving him a shield, and another one came out. That
I saw the whole thing, and you got to take that fucker down in order to take out the others. And what's weird is the other ones, their faces rip open, they have almost human skulls that are like flaming and screaming at you. I don't mind that, I really don't, because it looked cool. My main thing was Master Chief is conveniently on this planet where the ship crashes. It's the first war vessel turned into a peace vessel. He just happens to be there. But I don't even mind that. Okay? Suspension of disbelief. But
you can argue with me.
What I didn't really understand is that they're talking about these AI defense mechanism that's on the planet. It's like some kind of, they made it out like it was some kind of immune system built into the planet that spawns these AIs, is what they call them, or something like that. And then you see this gigantic orb just transpire out of nowhere, almost like a hologram, and take off. I'm like, is this a planet, or is this something that's inside of that giant metallic globe?
We'll find out that Mr. Chief is somehow transported himself into Cortana's brain.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I don't know, because it's weird, because you see him flying towards that giant metallic, it almost looks like Cybertron. You see him going towards that. And at the beginning of this, you see them, the whole ship, getting sucked into this thing that looks like a planet, but when you look on the outer side of it, it looked like it was that gigantic metal sphere, like there's a planet inside of it. That's either a hologram, it's an artificial planet, so I don't know what the fuck they're going with it. It's just, it's really weird for the story, so I'm kind of interested to see where they're taking it.
The thing that I'm more interested in is they've taken Halo, which is an established IP, and they're using some of the original stuff, so some of the original weapons, but they're introducing a lot of new elements. But they're going to take over it. I think they need to make Halo their own and do something different. Yeah. And that's what I'm excited to see, is if they do different, good. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm fine with them doing different good, but I'm also worried about them doing different that is completely incoherent. That's my worry.
We'll see what happens with that. But already
right now that trailer,
the gun sounds.
Hopefully, they don't just bone it. They can't screw. Yeah. They can't screw it up
because if they do, they're gonna fuck Microsoft over.
Yeah, and that's my big fear, is that watching that trailer. I'm a Halo fan. I'll admit it. I've played Halo since Halo Combat Evolved came out. Scott's a huge Halo fan as well. Me and him had the same concern, which is that they're going to make it a very incoherent mash of fucking what the hell was that, and not explain anything, not explain what this is, what's this new thing, what's going on, what happened in the past 4 fucking years. I know that Cortana's supposed to, she even says in the trailer that AIs only are supposed to last 7 years. She's been around for 8, and they even make her start to act crazy at the end of the trailer, like she's, and she says, I'm never going to let you leave this planet. She just screams that, like she's screaming at Master Chief, so maybe she becomes the enemy, which might be kind of a cool twist.
That'd be cool.
But, and I'm fine with that. It's just the other shit, like the giant orb. I don't know what the fuck that was. So, we'll see.
I hope they don't Halo Wars it.
Yeah, no shit.
Stick a Halo Wars.
That's my fear. That's my fear. It's the comics and Halo Wars. I don't want to see that. So let's go and jump to this last one here.
Well, there are two that I forgot to mention. Three.
Oh, shit.
So that's why I'm having you try to work.
I'm on a time schedule. Come on.
Hey, you're the one yapping.
Yeah.
So Battlefield, that's coming out soon.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Battlefield 3.
What do you think, Victor? Because you're more the Battlefield guy than I am.
3. 3 already came out.
Oh, I'm not Battlefield 3. Yeah. I'm sorry, Battlefield, the new one.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm saying Battlefield 3, I'm all over. It looks a lot better. They've got a lot more ways to take down aircraft, which have been my bane since the beginning.
Yeah.
Because although I love to fly them, I am not that great at them, which is ridiculous because I can fly RC planes like a crazy person. But
aren't you going into the Air Force?
Hey, Grandpa, calm down here. But anyways, what I'm saying here, they don't all fly. We type.
Yeah.
Chair Force.
Yeah.
So, hold down chairs. They fly
off. Now my friend Joe, he's in England in the Chair Force for the actual Air Force, so yeah.
But the thing is, you know, I'm liking they've got a lot more vehicles. The gameplay looks a lot more smooth. The graphics, as if they could get better, they look more refined.
Was Battlefield? And I always get these mixed up. Was Battlefield the one that introduced a new slowdown time effect for kills in single player? Because I'm pretty sure it was Battlefield that did this on the newer.
It is, but it's not controlled like bullet time or anything.
Yeah. It was like I breached a room and I got so many seconds to kill these guys.
Exactly. Yeah. It's slow motion. You jump out and there's a sniper or something. You have a few seconds to pop them before stuff speeds up and you get...
Well, they kind of stole that because Ghost Recon Future Soldier does that. Mm. You can mark targets and you can do that. And also when you breach rooms...
It's not like you mark a target and tell your guys to get them. It's not that, because I know what you're talking about. I love that.
Well, the new Ghost Recon Future Soldier, though, you breach a room, and then you go in, and you got about 3 seconds to line up targets and kill them all.
It sounded like they stole that from, you know, now you're sounding like they stole it from
Red Dead. No, you can't go into Red Dead, where it was Snake Eyes or whatever
it
was.
If you're talking about stealing, though, everybody's robbed bullet time from Max Payne. Yeah. That's pretty much first
thing
I saw. That was
pretty much the first time it ever came
around. So they should have patented the shit out of that, every form, shape, and part of that. And then they'd be rich. Everybody would pay on the royalties, and they could quit making games.
All right, my problem with Battlefield was in Battlefield 3, as epic as that game could get at times, like the whole, you know, dogfights in the sky, that was fucking up. Yeah. The graphics were badass. You're taking off the sky and fucking shooting shit. I was like, this is fucking awesome. This is what I was waiting for. 4-hour game.
Yeah.
I know that they focus a lot on multiplayer, which I'm fine with that, but you know what? It's like, look at, and we always go back to this, that a good example of a multiplayer and single player game, Reach. Reach is like 8-10 hour game, plus it had limitless.
You can't throw Halo in there. You gotta look more at Call of Duties.
Oh, no, I'm just talking about for shooter games.
Well, Call
just
of Duty.
In general. Just in general. Even Call of Duty had a decent length
through. Well, Call of Duty has set this staple where we want to do these short ass shooter games so that we can get around to the multiplayer. So people can power through it in one night.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, I made it through single player, now I'm just gonna play multiplayer for
See, and
that's what you get it for. And I know people that have not touched to this day, not touched it, and they will rape me on multiplayer.
Yeah. And see, I'm the opposite. I like to play the single, like with Max Payne, for instance. Like I played the shit out of the single player game, got through that. I would not have touched multiplayer yet had he and I not both popped on there just out of like, hey, let's do this.
Well, I kept telling you they're focusing a lot on multiplayer. We should check it out when we did.
Oh no, I was going to get around to it. I was just taking my time because I wanted to go through on New York Minute. And hard-boiled on the Max Payne.
I think we'll probably play some of that this week.
You think? Yeah. Well, I mean, do you think freaking?
Yeah, I gotta work on Saturday.
Do you think Xbox wants your $60 one-time fee, or do they want you every month until your fingers are bloody and you can't sleep? Okay, that's
no.
What
I understand. Yeah. I understand. But moving along with that same concept, we have the new Future Soldier game, Call of Duty. Mm. Future Soldier looks kind of interesting. I'm just saying they've up-res the engine. They've got dynamic environments where they showed an environment where they moved through a city. And then they went back through that city, and everything was collapsing, and which I thought was pretty fucking cool. But they're focusing a lot on battle drones and things like that, and they're using like existing technology because it's based in the future, and then futurizing it. So where you have these X-ray glasses, basically now, or devices you can see through walls, they've implemented into the scopes. So you have scopes that can see through walls and through cars and things like that, and see enemies and paint targets and things. They have basically a railgun now, which I thought was pretty fucking cool. And then of course the battle drones. Which battle drones are just little mini robots with guns.
Isn't that the one where you can walk up to a wall and you put down the two sensors and it'll actually create a 3D image that you can actually see through the wall? Or was that on Ghost Recon?
That might have been on Ghost Recon. But this
like a Doppler.
Yeah, it's like you just put this sensor here on this wall and this wall and everything in between. Yep. It'll actually be transparent so you can
see. Well, this is just skeletons on your scope.
Yeah, I was just wondering if they had that in that game or if it was... if it was Ghost Recon, so
I mean, I'll be looking at this. I know everybody that's listened to the show for a long time has known I've been always skeptical of Warfighter games because I'm burnt out of shit with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I played them way before most of the people listening to this cast were even knew what they were. So I have reason to say that I'm burned out, but it may actually pull me in. And if it pulls me in, you know that it's probably a decent game. So we'll see. I'm just cautiously gonna approach it from far and then figure out what's going on with it.
Yeah,
or not Call of Duty. That was Medal of Honor. I'm sorry. Why did I say Call of Duty?
Well, we were talking about it.
No, that was Call of Duty. There is a Medal of Honor game coming out, and Medal of Honor is the one that had the slowdown time.
Okay.
That's what I mean about Warfighter games. I get them all blended together.
They all bleed together.
Yeah.
That's why I'm a Gearsaholic, because
that's why we make fun of it with, such like, a stretch. What was it, Medal of Duty and Call of Honor?
Yeah.
So with that in mind, I'm going to talk about my very last game here.
I'm excited.
And this is one I showed you guys. You guys hadn't heard of it, and I hadn't heard of it until yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Star Wars 1313.
Epically badass looking.
The most grisly looking Star Wars mature ass fucking action game I've seen in a long time.
And made by LucasArts, too. And you're seeing blood, and you're sucking people out of fucking holes.
Snapping necks.
Yeah. Actually breaking a Greedo's neck. Just dropping them on there. I can't remember what those guys are called.
You went on 50 years on Star Wars, though. So, I mean, it's getting there. It's
yeah, it is
50
there.
Years.
I know, but you know what I mean.
It's older than Trent.
It's a little bit older than me. So.
Not by much.
It's going on 40, literally.
Yeah, it's getting there. So
reminded him of his imminent imminent demise.
His first bone.
I'm healthy, so, you know. So
what's Leia wearing?
Leia.
So, talking about this game a little bit, I was showing you some gameplay footage, and immediately I said, this isn't a cutscene. Yeah, this is in-game graphics. And you watched it as it seamlessly moved from stuff that was pre-rendered into gameplay, and the gameplay looked exactly like the cutscene.
Yeah.
It looks fucking epic, man.
Yeah,
it's a third-person shooter from it looks like a bounty hunter is what it looks like. Because he was in kind of a bounty hunter-shaped ship, and then he moved down into that.
He's just using blasters and stuff.
Yeah, so. And it was like pop-in, pop-out cover. He took a guy from over a crate, pulled him back, snapped his neck.
Yep.
And then it showed some pretty badass platforming. He falls out of this ship onto a part of a ship that's burning and falling. And he's, like, moving, like, Nathan Drake style between the different ledges on the ship to get back up.
It looks like they brought in elements of Uncharted, for instance, like that, but they also brought in the view mechanics of and action mechanics of something like Mass Effect 3 and just kind of meshed it all together. I think LucasArts is finally saying, you know what, let's finally jump into the boat. Yeah, let's jump into the boat of doing a real mature, gritty game, and let's look at some of these franchises like Dead Space, Mass Effect, Uncharted, who make massive amounts of fucking
fans.
They
gotta look at who their original fan base is.
Yeah.
We're all in our late 20s, all the way up to our 40s, and I mean, that's... We grew up with it.
But
we are mature gamers at this point.
Well, it's not just that. It's also the people who are making those games are people who grew up with Star Wars and were inspired by Star Wars. I mean, you look at Mass Effect, you can't help but lump Star Wars into that same category because it's still got that depth, that large universe kind of feel. And it's obvious that, you know, Mass Effect guys were heavily influenced by it, so they're looking at the people who grew up watching their shit and saying, okay, let's see what they've done and, you know, kind of pass it back to us now and kind of go forward. And that's what they're doing, and it looks fucking awesome.
So
let's hope it's not a 5-hour game.
Yeah. Oh, and another thing, just real quick, I hate to stretch out, but the thing is, you had old school Star Wars, it's always a Jedi, it's always something, you're just bossing through it. You're walking around as Vader, start a freaking Force Unleashed, you know? Shoot whatever you want at me, I'm going to kill you. You're dead. Yeah. It's just how many seconds do you have left of life.
Yeah.
That's I'm going to take a Star Destroyer and pull it out of the sky.
Yeah. Exactly, I'm going to crash it into your planet. Life is over for you. Die, but now you've got to hide behind a box. You're a bounty hunter.
It's like they're taking it back to the original Jedi Knight games, like that Jedi Knight Dark Forces 2, where it was you were playing Kyle, who was not a Jedi. He was just a regular dude who knew how to use a blaster. And as you progress through the story, you start to learn how to use a lightsaber. You get better with it, and it's kind of Kyle Katarn, that was his name. And you're starting to kind of go back into that where you're not a Jedi. You might become one at the end of the game, but for the starter, you are straight up, you know, just a fucking shooter.
For once, I kind of want to say, I hope it doesn't turn into a Jedi. I want to see some more badass bounty hunter.
Kind of like Bounty Hunter for GameCube, which was just phenomenal badass. That's still one of my favorite games. So
that's pretty much our highlights of E3.
Yeah.
We didn't want to make this a 4-hour episode. Mm-hmm. But we extended this episode to Thursday so that we'd have time to research everything. And if we hadn't have done that, we'd have missed out on some good jokes.
We would have missed the last day and seen some cool stuff.
So there is more stuff that was showcased, but hey,
yeah,
this is what we think was good.
This is what really, really popped our nerd boners. So, and with that, we're going to go ahead and wrap the show. We're going to jump into a few things really quick. We're not doing Gauntlet this weekend. As we said last episode, we're going to start doing it on a every 2-week kind of thing for right now. So not this Saturday, but the Saturday after, we're going to go ahead and jump in and do a 2-game Gauntlet.
So more epic than we ever have before.
Yes, it's going to be boundness of epics with 2 online games. Holly's going to be manning the Xbox with Minecraft for all you builders out there. And we're going to, Justin and I, as well as Miss Vicky over here, and maybe some other friends are going to hop on and do some Diablo 3 on the PC. Now, don't be afraid to join us on there. Your system can handle it, maybe. And if it doesn't, we won't laugh at you. So, and even if you suck, we're going to be starting with some basic characters. We're not going to be using our hardcores because we don't know you.
We don't want to die.
you will bring a horde of garbage over to us to murder us and be killed by 35
spiders. I'm at level 20, like 2 now, 21. I don't want to lose that to some asshole.
Just for reference, how many hours is that of gameplay in hardcore?
2 nights worth, wasn't it?
Easily.
Yeah, it's about 5, 6. Sorry, it's about 6, 7, 8 hours.
7, 8 hours of just straight killing, and you know what you're doing, and it still takes that long.
We're pushing through quite a bit of it, not really exploring everything.
With 4 guys that know what they're doing. Yeah. So you'd be killing a whole day of time.
Yeah. Like,
so we could easily play this pretty long. So we might take your level characters, your unlevel characters, whatever. We'll figure it out as we go.
Yeah, okay. We might have multiples if because I know that between us there's three. So Ken will probably get on. So that makes four. Yeah. So
I've got a lot of starter items too. I could chunk down to some people.
Yeah, but so we're gonna have to split it up to where I host one with some people, and then you host one with some people if we get enough people. Because we're only gonna be sitting at four, so we're gonna have to have another team.
Well, and then I'll post our battle tags on there so you guys can find. Us.
Yeah.
So I'll get everybody's battle tags and post that on there.
Yeah, our question for this week is, what did you see at E3 or just this week period that had to do with gaming electronics that just totally wowed you? You know, because that Tactus came out, that wasn't at E3, but that came out this week, and they said by mid-2013 we start seeing that on cell phones. Fucking amazing. Check it out.
Most innovative piece of technology I've seen in
camera, so the eye scanner connect sensor thing for computers. That's pretty fucking innovative. Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to that. But either way, so tell us, what was the thing that just totally wowed you in electronics?
Yeah, it doesn't have to be games. It can be hardware.
Yeah, it can be hardware as well. I don't care if they came with a new like triple-headed dong. Fucking
oh, yeah, if we forgot to mention it, I mean, you can write in at teabag@tiltcast.com.
Oh, most definitely. Send us hate mail. And with that, we're going to go ahead and jump into our shout-outs.
Yeah, we got Dynamic Soundtrack, rest his soul. You also have NoQuarters.net, our friends Mackie, The Beige, Harlow, and Chuck do video games every month. And, of course, they also do a cast weekly called the BMFcast.com.
And we also got the had the Royal Canadian Tiltcast, but they have they're going to be doing a separate thing now. We'll get those details up as we get them. But for right now, you can still find them at,
rct.tiltcast.com. Yeah. We're going to get them their own domain, and they'll have their own site.
Yeah, they're going to be doing their own thing, and we're going to keep hosting them for the next month, and then they're going to switch over. So we'll keep mentioning them, but a heads up for people who do listen to them, be prepared, they are moving.
Yeah, so they'll have to change their subscription feed.
Yeah.
So once they change the subscription feed, that they should have an announcement coming soon for that.
Yeah, totally.
Want to mention our local guys, of course. We got the carouselpodcast.com.
Yep.
With John and Scott and Joey and Lauren. You also have Elseworlds Podcast, which you have at the top of our page. Friends of ours that do a comic cast, and they are funny as shit.
Yeah, we had Jesus on here.
Yeah, Jesus did great.
He was fun.
Wore sandals that day.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Roman.
Anyway. He cut all his hair.
Oh, he did?
Oh, it looks so weird.
Oh, that's horrible. He's
man.
Now he's just a Jesse.
Yeah.
He's not Jesus anymore.
But speaking of just other friends of the cast, of course, you got extraplay.info with Troy.
Yep.
Which hosts our show as well as the Royal Canadian Tiltcast, as well, or Tiltsman, as well as Carousel. And
and he's also on Royal Canadian every so often. Yeah, I think he's on there pretty much permanently right now.
Yeah,
so,
I think he's a resident over on Royal Canadian.
Yeah.
And then we have I'm starting to lose it. What else do we have? For the Love of Gaming. For Log.
Yeah, we have BMF Cast.
I already mentioned that.
I don't pay attention when you do these.
And then I want to just, man, I'm forgetting everything. So I'm just going to end it with TVGP.TV.
They do good things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So with that, find us on twitter.com/tiltcast.
Yep. And not this Saturday, but next Saturday we were going to be having Diablo 3 and Minecraft, remember?
Yeah. Like us on Facebook, so facebook.com, search tiltcast, like us, and once we get to 100 likes, we got a cinnamon eating contest we're going to be doing.
Yep.
We also have a page on Stitcher. A lot of people have noticed us on Stitcher yet, and so I'd like you to try that on your mobile devices. Just search Stitcher for Tiltcast. Subscribe and listen. It re-renders it down so that you don't eat up your bandwidth.
Yeah.
You also can find us on iTunes. So iTunes.com/Tiltcast or search Tiltcast and subscribe. Write and review us. And am I missing anything else? Tiltcast.com and our YouTube page, The Real Tiltcast.
Yes.
Yeah, there's actually on the Facebook, it is Tilt Space Cast now, the new one.
No, no, that's one I'm going to be getting rid of.
Okay. No, it's just Tiltcast all in one?
Yes, yeah, just all in one. Okay, but there's a group that I started before this, so our fan base is split.
Our younger days.
That's it. That's what it is.
Yeah, so search Tiltcast. We need to get a few more likes.
Yeah, we're at 79. We need 21 more.
21 more until we eat cinnamon.
And we will eat cinnamon and videotape it and put it up on YouTube for all you motherfuckers. With our epic new intro by Johnny Five. I think that would be a great... We can even have him add in Till Cast When It Explodes has cinnamon eating contest.
So. Yeah, you can actually see the new intro that was done. I actually posted it on the Facebook. And there's a lot of things I post on Facebook that you don't hear on the show. So you need to check it out on Facebook so you can see all the extra shit that I don't post on the show or on the website.
And the new intro is pretty epic. So
yeah,
I have a few. I need to talk to Johnny about some of those sound effects that we were talking about. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. So
with that, we'll see you guys next week. And of course, Dan, in 2 weeks, we'll see you on Gauntlet.
Thanks, guys.